listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Who would have thought we'd get away with manslaughter? Numerous cars crib off the water. No a player no longer, life's getting shorter. Tired of hoes taking offers instead of voters.
The rule don't condone this, because in the late 60s, this game was flawless. Until blow got on the rise, then old jacks was slinging pies and bell bottoms and button flies.
Hey, welcome to the Black Out Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
We are in the house on a Sunday, the first Sunday of AMC's Into the Badlands.
I am so ready.
Listen, my body is ready.
Yes, I'm so excited. And it's right after The Walking Dead, too.
I couldn't sleep last night. I was up till like 4 in the morning. Like, we're going to see some kung fu action on TV. It's been so long. Feel like it's been since I was a kid and they had Saturday morning cartoons and kung fu, man. So I'm happy to be here today. And in addition to being happy to be here, we have some new guests.
Mm-hmm.
This is their first time being on our show, but they've been doing our show for like 5 years. I mean, that, you know, OGs in the podcasting game.
Mm-hmm.
We did do a show with them on Rashani's show one time.
And I've been on.
Karen has been on their show before. It's like, you know how you always have these, it's like Bones and Sleepy Hollow. Like, they operate around each other, but then they finally did that episode together.
Maybe they cross over.
That's right, man. We got John and Tanisha from The Ink Podcast. What's going on, y'all?
Hey, guys.
How's everybody doing?
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, really do. We, fans of the show, I mean, this is a long time coming, I guess, because we've all been doing this podcast thing for a minute. I guess, you know, we enjoy Karen the first time around, and glad to get you on this time. I mean, we'll be on your show. we all finally get to talk.
Well, first of all, man, you guys have been around for so long. Y'all have had a name change. Y'all been around so long. Y'all went from ignorance to The Ink. What was the cause of being like, we got to move on to The Ink and let the ignorance go?
that was a hard decision. But the change from ignorance to The Ink was basically, ignorance did not go well with everybody's palate.
In essence, we wanted sponsorship dollars, and at the end of the day, ignorance was not going to fly. we had to do something a little more palatable for across masses.
So y'all could be ignorance, brought to you by Amazon.
Exactly.
Oh man, ignorance is one of my favorite words, man. I did enjoy the name, I definitely understand, man. For branding, you have to move on sometimes. I know sometimes I still think like the Black Guy Who Tips, as much as I, you know, like the name of our show, and I think it's a good like litmus test for if you can listen to us or not. Mm-hmm. I'm still like, yo, we would have named this bitch Rod and Karen. We would have had so much money by now, cause like,
exactly.
Like, we surprise you with the blackness and shit. Like, oh, what's up, niggas? Everybody's like, what? What is this?
Exactly.
I wanted to listen to the Bob and Karen show.
Right. I didn't know those were nigger names.
Yeah, these Negroes are talking about Black Lives Matter. What is going on?
Right.
So how did you guys, like come up with the show originally? Like, you know, who's the person that's like, yo, I'm gonna get all the equipment. I'm gonna record this because I feel like that's how it typically goes. And then, you know, you pick your friends you're gonna do it with, and then boom. So who decided all that?
I was probably the catalyst of it all. I was just going through, like, I listened to podcasts, and I was just going through a tough time. Had a lost job, breakup, all the stuff like that. So I was like, I just needed an outlet to vent. And Rivers was my barber, and I always enjoyed the conversations he and I had. And so I always thought he was an interesting person. I said he has a strong opinion, and people will enjoy his opinion. Toya was my best friend. Oh, he is my best friend. And Mina, she was always there to just be like, you know, my shoulder. So I was just like, you know what, let's just all just get together. We all sat around one day and was drinking and talking. I was like, this would be a funny ass show. I said, I would listen to this. So we just kind of started working two and two together, and there we have it. But it all started from just me being like in the dumps. and kind of depressed and just needed some way to vent. And then I think we did the show for about a year. And after that, I was like, I don't want to do the show no more. I'm like, I'm done venting. I'm done. I got everything out of my system. Everything's getting better. But at the same time, we started having a listener base, and my dog is barking in the background.
Like, just want to be on the mic, try to get his opinion in there. You're like, hey, what about me? I was here.
So that's pretty much it. And Tanisha is my sister, mm-hmm. and she just came in. Like, she started off as a fill-in for Toya when Toya went on hiatus, mm-hmm. and then she just became a permanent fixture on the show. It was always fun, you know. It's fun to have a show I can do with my sister. I always get my son, and it's just always everything going on at one time around here.
You know, Rivers does kind of talk like a barber, man. So, I mean, that makes a lot of sense that's how you met, because, you know, barbershop conversations is a big part of the staple of the black community.
It is, and it makes a difference. And you said he was your barber, so what, did he fuck your hair up? He was like, nah, you can't do my hair no more, nigga. Come on the show, I'll talk to you.
He's still our barber. He's still the barber. He cuts mainly Jay's hair. Now, like, my schedule is so weird that I don't really get to him. I got a different barber. I always had, like, one or two barbers, Rivers and another guy. And it's easier for me to get in the other guy's chair. It's easier for Jay to get in Rivers' chair. So it works out that way. But every now and then, Rivers will cut my hair. He's an excellent barber.
And, Tanisha, how do you feel like stepping into the show that's already established and trying to, you know, like, make it your own?
It really wasn't a huge issue. I just came in and, you know, listening to their show, you can already tell that they're a pack of fools. So it was very easy to just slip in and just be me. Toya, like you said, I filled in a lot for Toya when she wasn't around, and then it kind of worked out because they were always picking on Toya when she was here. So to have to even out the playing field with Toya and I, and then Rivers and John, made it a lot easier on Toya. So it just kind of stuck.
And Tanisha comes from a broadcasting background.
Okay,
she got her little internet shows.
Oh, well, yeah.
So we'll try to piggyback off her little fame.
If that's what you want to call it.
That's the real reason why he had you on.
Yeah, he tried to put her in the title of the show and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You like, The Ink and Real Talk with Tanisha. What's going on, y'all? It's us.
Exactly. So it worked out.
And where do y'all record out of, man? Are y'all, like, out of South Carolina?
No, we're in Houston. Houston,
Texas. Houston.
They got time zone difference.
H-Town. Okay, so y'all up early for this, man. We appreciate this, man.
We do.
Yeah, we had to get up at 7. Tanisha, I had to call Tanisha at 8. She's like, wake me up because I ain't going to get up. Well, you know, I had a rough Saturday night, so I'm banged up right now.
Uh-oh.
And she's not
presentable. I told y'all I have my pajamas on, I have a hat on my head, and no makeup, so we're good.
Hey, it's early. I understand, man. I can relate to it. You know, this show's, we do it out of our spare bedroom, so, like, getting ready for me is like, all right, I guess I'll put on some pants and
walk
get in this other room and drink some coffee. But we had to do it at this time because, you know, we can't be interrupting with the football. We still on the South.
Yeah, play fantasy football. No, thank you.
Gotta get this over with for the Panthers and the Eagles play, because, you know, can't be bullshitting out here. Who y'all guys pull for in the NFL, man? Y'all Dallas or y'all down with Houston since y'all in Houston?
I'm a hometown fan, Houston.
But I'm going to cheer for whoever is the sexiest in the uniform. So let me see. This year we're going to always cheer for the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're going to cheer for Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to cheer for Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes.
We're going to cheer for Kaepernick.
Boo, really? But
even
yes.
He's not doing very well. I don't care, but that's not what we're talking about.
See, you know what? Yes. You know what, though, Tanisha, like, on the Kaepernick one, I feel like he fell off this year. And I'm not just talking about on the field. When he wasn't starting last week, he didn't have his helmet on, so they cut to him on the sideline. And he ain't had no edge up, man. I'm like, bro, you better keep your damn haircut tight, man. That's all you got now.
Exactly. Well, you see, I named him closer to the end of my list. You know, he ain't up at the top. And if Odell does not do something with that hair of his, he gonna get down to the bottom of the list too. But, you know.
You know, I can take Odell just for the fact that I know he's younger and, you know, kind of wild, and he be jumping, his hair be going with the wind. So I you know, I can do, and he's on my fantasy football team, so I don't care what his hair look like. So
I feel like the new wave of how to get your hair cut as a young black man is just like, tighten up everything on the bottom, do whatever you want to on the top. You know, like, everybody's just like, boom, like put some color in this shit, like, shape it up like a crashing wave, like,
they go all natural, dog. They're talking about women. Look at these men going natural.
But did Chris Webber start that?
I don't know, like, Chris did have it back in the day, before he went professional and got on TV and shit and put on them suits and started getting that little fro thing going. But yeah, you right, man, he did back in the day have it just like, yo, tighten it on the bottom, whatever you want to freestyle on the top, freestyle.
Whatever you feel like doing.
But yeah, that's the new wave, man.
I think for me, the problem I have with Kaepernick is that he broke the black quarterback code.
Oh yeah.
By doing the Superman thing and stunting and shit. So he's been on my shit list. Yeah. Because I'm a Carolina Panthers fan. I love Cam Newton, and I don't care nothing about you beating us.
Yeah. But it's the Miley Cyrus effect.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, Miley Cyrus be taking pictures of her titties out now. People be like, I don't want to see them little titties. And it's like, people, like, it's halfway because people don't want to see her titties, but it's really because people don't like what she be talking about all the time now.
Right.
So it's like, if it was real life and Miley just hadn't said no stupid shit, people would be like, good for her getting them little titties out there, girl.
Don't be body shaming her.
Right. Yeah, like, that is good for you. But now it's like, you put her titties on the timeline, everybody's like, ew, don't nobody want to see them titties. Get them titties out my face. It's like, well, they hate her. And I think that's what happened to Kaepernick. Like, black people turned on him after he flipped out on Cam and did the Superman in Charlotte. Everybody was like, oh, so you ain't down, brother? And now he been dealing with the karma of that shit for 2 years now, man. He need to ask for forgiveness, get that bad juju off of him, and he'll be back. At any rate though, man, let's get into some of the show stuff, man. First of all, let me tell you guys where you can find the Ink. You can actually find these guys on iTunes and Stitcher. All you gotta do is search The Ink, and it's spelled correctly, guys, in the English language. I know y'all was listening to all these black people talk like, oh, so it's THA Ink, or it's
dot slash.
Yeah, it's DA Ink, INC. No, it's The Ink, THE space INK. You can look them up. They also have Twitter and Instagram. Liquor Is My Muse is John's. Soul of Pimp C.
I like River. That name. This is like a rapper.
At Toy underscore Oda, ODA, and at Real Talk with Tanisha, and of course.
Wait, hold on. Tanisha has changed her Twitter name.
Oh, really?
Okay, so this is the situation. Okay. I always have a story behind something, and they're always getting on me. But this time I think I'm gonna leave it.
Okay.
Seriously. I think this time I have finally figured out what I want my brand to look like, and I'm going to brand this. I'm gonna stop with my projects and just brand Tanisha. So everything now is Tanisha INC. That's the way it's going to stay. So that way, the next time you hear an Ink show, they will not be clowning me because I have changed it once again. Exactly as it is.
All right. So we got Tanisha INC. So scratch what I just said, guys. We got the INC.
Appreciate that.
And then we got at the Ink Crew, which is everybody. So, and of course, like I said, you guys can catch them on iTunes and Stitcher and whatnot. Leave them 5-star reviews. Let them know you like the show. They're always talking about, you know, they talk about a lot of the same shit we talk about. So if you like us, you should like them. Now it is, of course, day 333 that Bobby Shmurda has been in jail. So we always want to start there. There's been a tragedy in France, which we talked about yesterday a little bit on the feedback show. So, you know, it's kind of starting on a somber note, but definitely want to let people know that we think about them. Bobby in France. And of course, the official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And let's get this money with these podcast sponsors real quick. First of all, this show is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. You already got it tight on the bottom, and you letting it grow any which way on the top. Well, get it tight on your face. Mm-hmm. Go to GetBevel.com today. Use code TBGWT. Get 20% off your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. Also, we're brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. We have a new audio play album out. It's called Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. Ratchetness, for those who don't know how to spell it, is R-A-T-C-H-E-T-N-E-S-S. And it's out on iTunes. Some of you have already bought it, and they would love to get some five-star reviews of it.
Mm-hmm. Even if you hadn't bought it or thinking about buying it, go leave a five-star review anyway. Right.
Even if you just like us, go look it up and leave five stars. Mm-hmm. It contains 9 hilarious audio plays in all, so check it out on iTunes, or search iTunes for our names, Rod Morrow and Karen Morrow, and it'll come up. Leave those 5-star reviews for it and let everybody know how much you love it. Cause, it's fun. We had a fun time recording it, and some of your faves are on there with us. And, we know how you love the faves.
Yes.
Lastly, our last sponsor. That's right. Triple sponsored.
Woohoo!
Mm-hmm. Let me find some, good music for this. How about
Tanisha Sings?
You know what, Tanisha?
It was just a joke.
I'm about to say, no.
I was going to call you bluff. Here we go.
I know that. That's what I felt that. Never mind.
Listen to that sweet, sexy ass music. Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? Of course you're not getting enough. That's crazy. No one can ever have enough. I bet you love to get more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, they give you a sexy little surprise for her. Secondly, a little specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something that they both can enjoy. Now I say you mix and match. All right, guys, don't just accept what they told you. Use those things all over the place. Plus, you get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD, and number 10, free shipping on the entire order. No gimmicks, no games. What you got to do to get this? It's easy. Just go to AdamandEve.com, select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, you know, something with the lights and the sparkles and like 7 different levels of pleasure on it. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? The world is your oyster. Sexy piece of lingerie. You know what I mean? Get those crotchless panties. You know, I'm really into the thigh high socks right now. That's the game. Like, try to get those for your girl. Or anything you desire. It's up to you guys. Just enter offer code TBGWT at checkout and you'll get 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping when you enter offer code TBGWT. That's TBGWT at AdamandEve.com. Play me out, Ray J and Lil Wayne.
Hey, I pour wine in the tub and we could drown in the grace. Ooh, I'm all over your rain and shit, I'm crowding your space. I'm a junkie for your love, girl, your body like bass. I got some cocaine on the mirror, you could powder your face. I told her, take her panties off, she say, what are those? About to play up in that sugar like the sugar bowl. Ooh, and you...
It's weird. It's weird listening to Lil Wayne rap about sex, because it's like, people be wanting to have sex with him.
Oh, he got the kids to prove it.
You're right.
So somebody is.
Do y'all watch Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, or are y'all too good for it? It's okay if you are.
I don't.
No, okay, so I'll be honest. I've seen it. I don't watch it regularly. You know, sometimes you'll turn and or somebody will say something on social media and you're like, what are they talking about? So you'll turn it on. I have seen certain pieces and episodes, but I'm not a regular watcher.
Alright, okay. Well, I watch it every week, and Ray J was so happy to have Lil Wayne on his TV show in that video. It was adorable. Like, he was just like, look, I know actual real hip hop people, guys.
He should have been excited. He should be.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Lil Wayne returned my phone call, y'all. Alright, man. We got all kinds of news to get into today. There's all kinds of crazy shit happening. So, you know, we'll just start at it. And I like this article, and you know, I'm kind of glad that we have Karen and Tanisha on the show. We got some black women's here. Vulture.com had an article, and it was about Aziz Ansari's new TV series, Master of None.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really about Hollywood in general, right? See, okay. I haven't seen Master of None yet. I know it's on Netflix, and I hear it's very funny. I'll get into it soon. But basically, the question was, how come when it comes to love on TV shows, women of color don't get to get those roles? It says, when it comes to falling in love, where are all the people of color on TV? So basically, like, even when shows diversify and they're like, we want to get more people of color on the show, they often put them in the friendship role, or even if the main character is a person who of color, often the people they date are not people of color,
right?
And it was just an interesting article. They mentioned that there are some rare exceptions. Fresh Off the Boat,
yes.
Empire and Blackish, of course, are, you know, like, where the leads are of color and date people of color.
Mm-hmm.
But they were like, you know, every other show you can mention the interracial relationships where they has to have one white person in it, or else it's just, you don't get it, you know, on the show. So I was just wondering, like, and then of course, you know, obviously the effect it has on people, because I do feel like representation matters. So mm-hmm. it's like, if I don't see myself in being valued in these places, what does that make me think about myself and my place in this world, you know? So I did notice the article didn't count certain shows. Like, I didn't see her counting anything from, like, BET or whatnot.
Yeah, like being Mary Jane, like shows that everybody's black.
Yeah.
Or close to everybody's black.
You know, which a lot of black people gravitate towards these days. Like, they watch, you know, like, I feel like that's the new thing, is like, a lot of black people are just starting to watch shit where they feel fed now, where we're like, well, I don't want to watch a show where, you know, it's a bunch of white people in love all the time. Like, let mm-hmm. me just move on. I'd rather watch Being Mary Jane and get satisfied there than go give my money to ABC mm-hmm. or whatever. Anyway, man, I was just kind of wondering what y'all general thoughts was on that. Karen, do you notice this? Do you think about this, or is it a non-issue for you?
Oh yeah, it's something that you notice all the time, particularly when you're in the minority. A lot of times you look at things, you observe things, and you know, being a woman, you, especially particularly a woman of color, no matter what color you are, mm-hmm. you do understand that a lot of shit rotates around a white woman's world. And a lot of times anything in America, quote unquote, revolves around her. So, you know, for me, I think it is more frustrating as a black woman when black women do get these leads, regardless of what their lead roles are. My problem is that when we do get these leads, we are unnecessarily criticized and we're put to a ridiculous fucking standard. You can have a white woman play a damsel in distress, play a role where she doesn't know what's happening, what's going on. You can have her cheat on her husband. You can have her have all these crazy diverse roles, which is real life now, but you can have her have all these crazy diverse roles. But the second a black woman or woman of color getting any of these roles that are not quote unquote clean cut, they're not character development or anything like that, you can't see her sad, you can't see her angry, you can't see her diversify, you can't see her go through range of emotions, I have a problem with people just unfairly criticizing black women leads of color when you allow white women to do it, and you don't get the same outrage, you don't get the same visceral across social media, because you don't expect the white woman to be perfect. Why do you expect the black woman to be perfect, or the brown woman to be perfect?
What about you, Tanisha?
Well, you know what, piggybacking off of what Karen was speaking on, you know, when Scandal first came out, Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder, you know, we had a lot of conversations about, you know, these are two prominent leading ladies in lead roles of color, but one has, well, they both were, one has what? Scandal has the, she's the mistress.
To the president.
And then, yeah. To the president, and then to the white man, and then How to Get Away with Murder, she was married to one. She eventually killed him, but she was married to one. And you know, a lot of people had
I guess, bigger expectations of Shonda Rhimes in the beginning. I don't know. I guess it's just, it's kind of, I look at it in all honesty. I listen to a lot of viewpoints on this. I really look at it as truly what it is. And for me, it's just entertainment. You do hope that the Shonda Rhimes of the world and the Mara Brock Akeels would give us, you know, Mara gave us, what was it? The girlfriends and the, so I mean, you know, I think that it is progressing. It's progressing at probably a slower rate than we would like, but hopefully, slowly but surely, we will get there. And hopefully, I'm waiting, I'm crossing my fingers that Shonda will give us something with an all-black cast. I don't necessarily see that happening, but I do have a hope. I'm keeping hope alive.
It's kind of weird, because, like, I think, like, with black, as black people, sometimes we're the most restrictive on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, especially our creators, because when, like, it's hard to create anything that's gonna make everybody happy,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, if I make a show where it's everybody, all the black people are perfect, then it's like, well, it's a boring ass show, I don't want to watch this uppity ass blah blah blah. But then if I make a show where all the black people are flawed, then it's like, you making black America look bad, brother. It's like, you know, like, there's no in between. And I really feel like the solution to a lot of this is black creators, honestly, and specifically black women creators, for some of the issues that black women feel on the you know, on representation. Like, it's just gonna have to be black women, and not just Shonda, but a lot of them. Right. And then the other thing is, we need more diversity. Like, it can't, like, the solution is always, like, if we just depend on one person, it's always going to come up short. Like, there's no way Tyler Perry can represent all the types of blackness. Mm-mm. So then when he puts out a movie and say 30% of black people go, oh yeah, I like that, 70% are going, yo, fuck Tyler Perry, he didn't, that ain't how black people act, not, that ain't me, you know. And it's like, man, that's a lot of pressure for any black creator to feel with their product, you know. Another thing the article went on to mention was, and I have noticed this too, the main character will date, like, white women, white people in general, but then they sprinkle in the black women on, like, the love interest of my best friend. You know what I'm saying? So, like, okay, we got a black woman on the show. And I guess what's kind of sad about it is, you know, Aziz Ansari is a person that speaks about diversity all over the place. Like, he just was on the Colbert Show talking about diversity, and, you know, that's kind of been his pitch for his series. Like, look, this is what diversity looks like. But it's like, yo, your character only dates white women. You know what I mean? Mindy Kaling, like, your character only dates white dudes. Like, you make jokes about dating black men, but you don't date black men on the screen. It's always a white dude. So it's kind of like lip service to diversity, but it's not true diversity, you know?
Yeah. And I think for me, when it comes to it, just being a black woman, you want to see yourself represented in a lot of ways. And I think with social media, and when it comes to black women, particularly on TV, and this is not to get off topic, but this is to kind of incorporate kind of on a larger scale, I realized that a lot of people hate black women. And they hate to see black women on screen, and they hate black women prospering, and they hate black women that are not in the quote unquote good roles. And a lot of times, especially when Scandal or How to Get Away with Murder or these other things come up, men, you talk about this, how a lot of black men just roll on the timeline and just act very fucking ignorant. But it's just one of those things where anything that black women quote unquote in the collective enjoy, a lot of men hate. Mm-hmm. And that also plays, you know, plays a role into this also. And I think that for me, personally, there does need to be more diversity, because we always know that they get the one black and then they shut the door. Nobody else black can get in here. We got Shonda. That's it. We give her all the shows versus there's other people out here that can probably, I mean, I'm not saying she's a bad writer. Right. They can write better than she can, have more diverse characters than she does.
But I don't even know about better, just different.
Right. Give a different perspective and everything. But they don't even get the fucking chance. And that's the part that makes people mad. Same thing with Tyler Perry. You got him in the door and you close the door. And it's just one of those things where, in my personal opinion, I think that the internet was, in my opinion, is the biggest fear of white media across the board, because the internet allows us to talk to us to have shows for us to go after us, because there are a lot of people that quote unquote won't make it on quote unquote standard television but have fucking millions of views online. But there's an audience out there, and it's like the big networks just miss the internet, like the internet just don't fucking exist.
John, what you think about it?
And I was just looking at Tanisha like, I
see, what y'all have to understand is, you making John think right now. John has to, he's used to the, he's used to acting a fool on the ink. So now you're actually making him think. I really do appreciate this. Y'all can see his face over here. You would be extremely amused. So go right ahead. Let me give him the floor.
I don't watch too much TV, but I understand what you guys are saying. Like, I've seen shows like with the, damn it, dog. The two shows that I do watch, like The Flash, for instance. They got the black main character, they got the black daughter.
Yes.
She's with the white dudes. I'm like, you know, I'm like, where's the black guy for her? I'm like, I'm checking her out the whole time. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's me. I just don't watch a lot of TV. But I do understand the dynamic of, you know, we need to have more diversity on the TV. We need to have more black people with black people. And it's like, I stopped watching black movies, black shows. Black movies in particular. It's too much just buffoonery and shit all the time. And the shows that are actually somewhat decent, they just don't appeal. I mean, they don't appeal to me. It's like, they're not for me.
Well, you know, it's interesting, like, even on the CW shows like The Flash and Arrow, Diggle's wife is white, you know, Iris's love interests are white. It's kind of the same thing that the article's talking about, where it's like, one of them, one of us. Like, it can't be, this is just two black people in love. And the audience, I think a lot of times, because, you know, I'm a bit cynical, you know, creating media for a living, I think you kind of get in this phase where you can't help but see like what kind of creative choices are made cynically, like to keep an audience. And my thing is that it seems like people that create stuff are constantly worried about white people, and
yes, they are.
The fear is, if I don't put a white person in this romance, white people won't care, and white people won't watch. So it's like, we can have a black woman on the show and we can have her fall in love, but she need to fall in love with white people, because don't nobody want to see two black people loving each other unless it's like a sitcom like Blackish or something like that, you know, like, at least that's the cynical part of me, you know, that, I mean, I would hope that it's not that way, but I don't know, because I've never been in those writing rooms, but it feels that way to me.
Yeah, it is. It wouldn't surprise me, because just television and television in general, when it first started, was never catered to us unless it was some Bojangling or some shit like that. Like, other than
but what's funny though is, I don't even think it's about writing race so much. Like, with this, like, honestly, you could just write two characters however you feel like writing them, and then you just cast a black person. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even on some, like, yo, this, like, it's not like, yo, Diggle's wife is so white, like, yo, it's a big part of the storyline. He couldn't make that, like, if his wife was black, it would fuck up the whole show. Like, nobody's thinking that, but
somebody is, for them to do that,
right? But it must be somebody thinking that, right? Because that's how it always ends. But it's like, I don't know what more black people have to do to convince Hollywood that our dollars and our attention spends, because when you look at the biggest movies this year, the biggest quote-unquote surprises at the box office, I mean, you got Straight out of Compton dominating the motherfucking theater.
Yeah, and for me, I'm tired of them going fucking surprises. These right. are not goddamn surprises. It's one of those things where you don't cater to us. You don't cater to us at all. And then when you have a movie that everybody goes watching, you go, oh, these black people go to the theaters too. Yes, just like we're going to go support Star Wars, just like we're going to go support Star Trek, right. just like we're going to go support Mission Impossible. We spend these monies too, just like we support all a lot of other black movies. But the thing about black movies that really trip you out, you get 10 years between them. You'll get a movie, it'll do well, you won't hear shit about it for another 5 years. You get these terrible ass romantic comedies, you got the next one out 6 months later. You were like, that was some bullshit the first one, this some bullshit too, but you get it quicker. Why? Yeah. Because they're not black. Well, and it's not fair.
Well, like, we got The Perfect Guy this year, which I don't think is a great movie by any means, but it made all the fucking money.
Right.
Because like, black people were like, oh, black shit. Oh, I'm so starved of blackness. I'm going to go eat this black shit up. And then you just show up at the theater, give them your $10. And then the next week, you know, they're in the paper, it's like a surprise success. Another black movie dominates the box office. This is the third week in a row. And it's like, yeah, or are you still not counting black dollars as dollars? And it's fucking 2015. And I think that's what's happening on a lower level with some of these TV shows.
Right.
They don't count black people's eyes as eyes that they should cater to.
Right. And I think for me too, the funny thing about it is that you have like that movie do well, then you put out some fucking Gem and a Hologram that made $2 million. Y'all had to fucking take it at the box office because nobody wants to see that bullshit.
Yeah.
You rather take your chance in that than to give another Best Man.
Yeah, I actually saw, I don't know if y'all been seeing that poster for the Egypt, like, movie or some shit they're doing. Gods of Egypt, I believe. And, yeah. Yeah, it's all white people. Again.
Right.
I forgot who they had as the main police.
But I think, one final point, I guess, for me is if at the point that we stop waiting for everyone to acknowledge us, is when we're actually going to make a difference. If we can collectively, and I guess maybe that is our biggest problem, if we can collectively get together and put our own shit out and get together and make us one really good, I mean, I'm not really sure what Tyler Perry is doing, but if we could get one good film company, if we can have our own, Sony or whatever the case may be, where we can filter our own information out as we see fit, if we could collectively get together and make this happen, we wouldn't be waiting for someone to acknowledge us and give us, you know, the scraps off of the table. And I think that that's a major problem in and of itself. So, yeah. I think
it's a twofold thing. Like, on the one hand, I definitely agree. And I mean, obviously, we created our podcast out of that mindset, right? Like, what the fuck? We got to wait for somebody else to do it. We should do it, right? So I do agree with you there. The only thing is, I still think there, like, we have to push for it in both spaces. Like, we have to push for our own shit to be excellent and for our own stories to be told by us. And then we also have to push for mainstream media and mainstream shows to be better about representing us and to have include us more. Because that, like, that matters too. I don't want to leave that battlefield, because it's not good enough and we can win there and we can get more. And I feel like, even though people come down hard on black people who create things, from all sides, I'm happy and I'm proud that there's a Shonda Rhimes, you know, I'm happy and I'm proud that we got Blackish, you know, I'm happy and proud of those people because they were able to not just break the mold, but produce excellence and they prove people wrong. They prove that white people watch black shit if it's well done and it doesn't fucking matter what you think. Like, right. Same thing with Empire. White people have watched that shit. Like, you know, as much as people go, oh, I don't like the way it represents this, that, and the other, it's like, yeah, but guess what? That show's on the same time Blackish is. If you really don't like them niggas over there, go watch them niggas over there. Cause it's like, you have choices, and that, to me, that's always the solution, is more choices, for other stuff. But as, Tanisha said, I'm still also pushing for people to go watch stuff like If you're not satisfied with this, go watch Being Mary Jane. Like, go support, artists on the internet. You know, we promote people that, come on here all the time. You know, Reagan Gomez has her series is out on a web series.
It's like, excellent.
There's a reason that these things make it to TV and whatnot. And it's because people support them at the ground. And then they can't ignore it anymore. Even Awkward Black Girl, that's getting HBO is giving Issa Rae a series.
She's been doing that for years.
Yeah, I say giving, but obviously it's not giving. She fucking earned it. But I'm just saying, like, it takes years for this stuff to work. But that's black people supporting her. Like, that's black power right there. That's black dollars. That's black eyes that are creating that. So I think that's important,
and before we move on, something to piggyback on something else Tanisha said was this. The funny thing about it is that I agree with you. We're not a monolith and you can't get us to all kind of agree on the same thing. But the funny thing is that BET is out there, and you know how many black people constantly shit on BET, and BET is like, we are here to serve the black community. We've been here for a very long time, and you constantly get black people to talk about it, criticize it, talk about how bad it is. BET has revamped itself. It is not the same thing it was back when we were children. And it's funny how people talk like that, but yet they got shows out there that they won't go and support because they automatically assume that it's terrible. Some black people won't even give shows like Being Mary Jane a try because they automatically assume the channel that comes on is going to be a bunch of bullshit, and it's not so all the time. And it's one of those things where we have got to, just like we expect Hollywood to diversify, we got to diversify too. And I think sometimes when it comes to supporting black shit, it's a division, because I support black shit, but I don't support bad black shit. And I think that some people get to the point where they go, well, it's black, you automatically got to support it. And that's not true. If it's not good, it's not good. Just like if I watch something white and it's not good, I won't support that bullshit either.
Yeah. All right. That was a good starter. I like that.
I'm the quiet person here.
Well, speaking of people being quiet. Did you guys know that there's a new study out that says quitting Facebook won't make you any happier?
Oh, word?
That's right. So come back, Nick Jew, if you're out there listening. Another study is proclaiming that Facebook is bad for you. This time it's from the Happiness Research Institute in Denmark, supposedly the happiest country on earth, which claims that people who were randomly assigned to give up Facebook reported feeling happier, less stressed, and less lonely than they did before the study. But there's just one problem. That study is not particularly scientific. While the Happiness Institute did a good job recruiting a relatively large size of participants, in total a little over 1,000, the researchers' methods were pretty flawed. It's unclear how they recruited the participants, but given the large number, it may be reasonable to assume they found them online, perhaps through ads placed on Facebook itself, but they don't really know. It's also not clear if they were told what the purpose of the study was, but if a place called the Happiness Institute asks you to give up Facebook, then you're probably going to assume that they're trying to relate Facebook to happiness in some way. And given the never-ending stream of articles about how Facebook is making you depressed and anxious, the people who were told to give up Facebook may have assumed it might make them happier. That's why the fact that the study was only a week long makes it totally scientifically useless. Oh, it was only a week?
Right. There was no longevity. And it's difference between you saying, hey, give it up, versus you came up to your own conclusion where you're like, man, fuck Facebook.
Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah,
because if you're to the point where you are opting to leave on your own accord, I'm happy because I want to leave.
Yeah.
Come back on screen, baby.
Oh, I'm off screen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let me refresh real quick. That happens from time to time. I gotta remember to reset our internet router after we get off of this thing. I keep saying I'm gonna do it and I keep forgetting.
Brewcast is like,
all right, I'm back. So yeah, it says, so a week is pretty short, they said. Also, they said the changes in happiness and other measures weren't that mind-blowing. According to the group, 81% of people in the control group felt happy compared to 88% of the people who gave up Facebook. So it was like 7% difference, if at all. And it wasn't that they said these people were sad and then they turned happy.
Right.
It's just a 7% difference. All right, well, anyway, that's the study, guys. Don't worry about Facebook. That's not what's making you sad.
Mm-mm.
Okay,
it's the other real life shit.
Yeah, it's all the shit that's going on in the world.
Yeah, some shit that probably never get posted on Facebook.
I went dark on social media a little while ago, and I won't say I'm happier or sadder. It's just I got busy. But it doesn't, I mean, I don't, one, it lasted a week. Can that even be considered an actual study?
Yeah, I know, right? Are you sad? I mean, it's been 5 days. I guess I'm okay. All right, study worked. Wrap up. Everybody put your shit up. We out.
A cold lasts longer than that.
Yeah.
Facebook always seemed like this just, I don't know, Tanisha is big on Facebook. Facebook has just been like this weird little community to me, and I've been more of a Twitter person than I am a Facebook person, because I think all the people I know on Facebook are kind of special. In a way.
Excuse me, what does that mean? What does that mean?
They full of drama. Good Lord, dog. Here. Shit.
John's dog is on Facebook right now, guys. He doesn't appreciate this shit.
Craig Domino a goddamn Facebook page. Maybe he'll be happier. Facebook is just weird. I mean, I went on social media, and the first question I got was, is John in jail? And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, people start asking Rivers and Toya. I start seeing the tweets. They'll tweet the ink, and they'll tweet Rivers, they'll tweet Toya, they'll tag me in. Like, is John in jail? I'm like, what the fuck is going
on? I guess if you log off long enough, you get to find out what people really think about you.
Yes.
You know, it's like, I always knew that nigga was a criminal. He in jail, ain't he?
But for me, it's just, I haven't had much to say. It's just, well, I just haven't felt like the need to be on or discuss things. It's like I'm so busy. I ain't gonna say I'm so busy with my life and so busy with work and things, but I just don't have the time to sit up and entertain the thoughts of other people. But getting off Facebook didn't make me happier or sadder. It just was it wasn't even a relief. It was just like, all right, I can go away. I can go away from social media for a while and say fuck it.
Yeah, one of the things I like about Twitter is that you have 140 characters to wrap that shit up.
Ain't that the truth?
You know what I mean? Like, that's what Facebook is missing, is just the ability to have like a wrap it up button where it's like, all right, nigga, I got the first paragraph, but these other seven is just too much. That's just extra reading. You know what I mean? Like, can't you just disagree with me in like 140 characters and then we can move on?
And Instagram even worse. Instagram was like, we ain't even gonna put no limits on what the hell you got to say underneath this picture.
Yeah, I only go on Facebook when I really like, when I'm like, all right, I have the time today. I'm gonna be patient because, but you know, the thing is, neither one of those make me sad or happy or anything. I feel like that's a come from inside thing. Like,
yes, it does.
You either have that in you or you don't, maybe they exacerbate however you feel, but I don't think they actually create that emotion in me. Like, I don't go on Facebook and be like, I was having a good day, but then I went on Facebook and I saw somebody's dog die, man, and now the whole world is terrible.
What's the addiction to social media? It's kind of like the new drug. Social media is the new. It's hard to describe, but
yeah, I can tell you.
People who are just addicted to telling people what they're doing. It's like I'm like, nobody. Like me and Rivers, the last show we did, we said we was gonna create the soul movement. Mm-hmm. Like, just start putting soul in everybody's status, just to see how people react to that shit.
Oh man!
Like I'm having a good day, and we just gonna respond soul. And we
I'm blocking you and yeah. My social media. Don't come on my page with that bullshit talking about soul.
Yeah. Soul. it's just a thing. It's like, look, y'all get out, look at the sun, motherfuckers. It's bright outside. It's nice weather right now.
Well, you know what's funny is that if they do go out and look at the sun, then I got to post a selfie in the sun so y'all can know I was out there.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot of pressure out here. You know, the people expect a lot from me.
And I was just about to say that. Now you got to post a picture of you in the sun, like, enjoying a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, because I get to be my own celebrity. And I think that's the thing about social media. Social media make people that otherwise would never get noticed become their own celebrity, their own paparazzi. They have their own quote-unquote fan base, and I think that a lot of people are addicted to that.
I think it was always this way, by the way.
Like, oh yeah, people have always been like this.
Well, I think back in like the 1600s, there was some guy being like, dearest Delilah, today is a morn unlike any other, you know, and writing his letter to his peeps. You know what I mean? Like, people have always wanted to document their lives. It's just now we can document our lives and you know anybody can see it. But I think if you tell, if in 1865, if there was some soldier that was writing a letter and he was, we were like, you know what, you can actually send this letter to everybody instead of just your girl, they would do that. They'd be like, oh yes, let everyone know about this shit, you know. So I don't think it's any difference, you know. But
I think it needs to be a balance though.
Yeah, but what is the, who's to say?
Yeah, and everybody,
I don't know your life.
Everybody has their own personal balance. That's what I mean.
Yeah, I don't know your life. I don't even get off on judging people on the shit one way or the other. Cause it's like, you know, for example, I have so many tweets, but if it wasn't for Twitter, we wouldn't be making a living off this podcast.
Ain't that the truth?
You know what I'm saying? So it's like catch 22. If I tweeted less, I'd be less, you know, able to make a living. Like, yeah, so it's you know, like I don't want to, yeah, but
check and balance part of it all,
right? Right, like I think the assumption is that we assume anybody doing more than us don't have a life, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, you do it,
always true.
See, I tweet 17 times a day, and that's the perfect balance. If you tweet 18 times a day, nigga, you beat your wife. I saw it. 18 times a day, man, you
that's
don't see
too
you, don't,
much.
You can't see your kids tweeting 18 times a day, that's crazy. You know, so I think that's how we feel because we have our own personal lives and our personal balance, but I don't know that person's life, you know?
Anyway. But they will share it with you, and that's the sad part of it all. It's like,
But you know what? It depends because it's one of those things where, to me, I'm not even gonna lie, it's sometimes I go on social media and I do understand your perspective. You're like, why? And then sometimes I go on social media and it's the funnest shit ever. So, you know, like you say, it's just that, you know, just that. And you got some people, they just don't care. I'm just happy to be that person who has a balance. Some shit I care about, some shit I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like last night, like I said, I went dark on social media, but I had to log on last night for the Ronda Rousey loss.
Oh, yes. It was so good.
Like stuff like that, I will definitely get on social media. I'm like, I got to see the reactions. I got to join in. But then there's other times I'm like, I don't feel like talking about this here subject, you know, it's always to me, it always feel like a repeat of, it's like an old sitcom, like on social media. It's like, we're talking about the same things over and over. Who eats ass, $200 dates, or what is it? $2,000 dates now? it's just a repeat. It's just a constant repeat of the same episode. I mean, of different sitcoms. And I enjoy it for a moment, but I like to, like, I'll get on now for big events. Like last night was, to me, was something I had to get on and see. And now I'm like, this was fun. Now I'm like, all right, now I'm dark again. I'm not in jail, guys. I'm just kind of.
But we noticed that you did not hop on social media and change all of your profile pictures to the French flag.
That's a big measuring stick now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is that a big thing? I mean, all right. I saw this and I saw the outrage of people. Why do people get mad at other people for jumping on? I mean, I ain't gonna say bandwagon hopping, but even just jumping on a cause. Like when people did the rainbows, people did, you know, did the 90 people doing the French flag.
And for the record, I was just being facetious. I
thought you had a post. And you was, y'all
nah, not, you know what's funny? I think people notice the hypocrisy of a lot of shit.
Yeah,
and
they do.
They can't help but notice it. But I've just been holding back on a lot of commentary because people are grieving. It's a real tragedy. People lost lives. But I feel sickened by the people who are using it only to take shots at people.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were people that were using that tragedy to take shots at the students who protested at Missouri.
Right.
Being like, this is what real tragedy looks like. And then there were people that were doing stuff like, if the French people had guns, you know, they wouldn't have been dead. Like they would have, you know, figured out, it would have turned to the fucking OK Corral.
Right.
And then there's the, you know, well, what about this tragedy that happened a while ago? And it wasn't as much outrage then, over this tragedy. And, you know, why didn't Facebook let you people check in for this tragedy, but they let people check in for this tragedy? And it all just feels so cynically bad. Like it just feels like people don't even have any empathy or humanity to even let an amount of time pass before they want to pass out the baton. Like today somebody was already doing the black people didn't care about when that black school got shot up earlier this year and 100 and something people died. And I was like, wait a minute, I remember on social media people being mad because they were like, why are y'all passing out pictures of dead black kids?
I know I was. I didn't want to see that. Yes.
Right. I remember people being like, it was happening so much they were getting mad. I also remember the only people I heard talking about it were black people. Like,
come
black,
on now.
Black podcasts were talking about it. Black, people were writing about it. Black websites had features on it. Even the mainstream media covered it, but they didn't cover it the way they're covering this, obviously.
Come on now.
But I saw someone today that was blaming black people for that. And I was like, how is that black people's fault? Like, black people can't make CNN do shit. Like, they can try, but end of the day, CNN just be like, yeah, we only gonna put 20 minutes of that, and then we gonna cover this French thing 24/7. And it's like, why do we rush to blame each other in something like that when we don't have the control? And in moments like that is when I feel like John, where it's like, oh man, this social media shit is bad. Cause that people are even like, this would be a perfect time for everybody to kind of sit back and maybe suck in the totality of this and then come back with their thoughts more composed. But when you're just busting thoughts out left and right, some of this shit looks real callous and cold to just be like, you know, I'm sorry, yo, aunt got shot last night, but listen, what about Ray Ray from 2003? It's like, what, nigga? Like, that's very insensitive right now. Yes, like, you couldn't wait a couple days, like,
and
nothing?
And I guess the biggest issue that I have with a lot of, sometimes with tragedies happen, people act like you can't be mad at 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 things at the same fucking time. Why do we have to do this topic or nothing? Yeah. I could be mad about this and mad about the way the children are treated and mad about Trayvon Martin and mad about, being right, but for some
on and on and on.
But for some reason, people act like if you ain't talking about the quote unquote topic of the hour, right, that you're being insensitive.
Well,
it's just that we beat the drum so much. It's like, it's coming to a point where, like, no matter what we do, it's like, I hope it's like a lost cause.
Right.
I feel like, you know, I can tweak this. I can put all these messages out there on social media. I can retweet people who are trying to put positive messages, but at the same time, it's not getting to nobody but us. It's not getting to everybody. The people that need to be paying attention to it aren't.
Right.
And the people who are paying attention to it have no power to do anything.
Mm.
I ain't gonna say have no power to do anything, but it's just like, we're just a small minority as far as what we can do to make changes. The people who can make changes are ignoring us. And so it's like, we, you know, yeah, we can, the Black Lives Matter is a powerful movement, but at the same time, they're putting us in the same category as the troublemakers. They,
what the fuck? I'm making a good point.
Yeah, you know what, like I was watching the debates last night. Speaking of which, a debate on a Saturday night, really?
Yeah, they need to stop that bullshit. What is going,
like, I don't know who's making the schedule for the Democratic debates, but Hillary ain't never gonna lose as long as they always at a time that nobody watching TV.
Come on.
But like, I know Bernie be mad. He be like, I won the debate, but ain't nobody see it. Shit.
Come back on.
Oh, I gotta refresh. All right, give me a second. Let me.
Yeah, bro, you went away.
Yeah, it happens.
Now, one person show over here.
I know, man.
Take full advantage of a girl.
Hey.
But yeah, like with the debates last night, we had even with the prominence of Black Lives Matter and how much it's becoming, you know, how it's becoming a prominent issue in America, and like campaigns are now having to have answers to the questions that are being asked. Last night, one question. You know what I mean? Yeah, like even with that, and I was saying, and I don't know how feasible this is, but we're never gonna be fed in the mainstream media. So like, as long as CBS is asking the questions, to basically a room that if you look at the audience, it's a sea full of white folks. If you look at the stage, it's a sea full of white folks. If you look at the people asking the questions, it's a sea full of white folks. And we're never going to get the nuanced discussion of race in America from these candidates because they don't have to have that discussion and they don't have to navigate those lanes in order to live. No matter what happens after this, I feel like in my lifetime, there's never going to be a president who spoke as well on race as President Obama because never. He had to live it. So even when you disagree with him, you're disagreeing with somebody who has a lived experience dealing with racism as opposed to white people who are basically living in theory. Like, it's just very much like,
yes, textbook.
Yeah, like it's very much like an applause line, like, I believe Black Lives Matter, and then they pause like, huh, am I right, guys? Who's out here? Who wants to clap? You in the upstairs, what's up, y'all? I know y'all hear me, but it's like, we're gonna need stuff like, we would need like BET to have a debate forum. Like, we would need that in order to get our questions asked. And it doesn't even matter how they answer the 30 seconds that they get to talk about Black people being killed by the cops, because at the end of the day, the fucking answer can't be summed up in 30 seconds. There's no satisfactory answer to what's going on with Black people in America that can be happen in 30 seconds. I'm sorry, unless you're gonna use cuss words, it's impossible. So it's like, I saw people were getting mad at me. People were getting mad at me because I was like, yeah, well, you know, Hillary did a good job bringing up the names of the people that got killed and shit. So she pretty much is gonna end up winning this shit. And people are like, well, can you really say that? What about her policies and this? I was like, look, I know what you're saying, but in of the three answers I heard, one of them is from the nigga from Baltimore. Come on now, we're not even considering his shit, right? And then the other, you know, Bernie goes to the economy like he always does, which is, you know, a very valid response. But then she starts naming names, and I was like, she gonna win just because she said some people names. It's right. Like, it's a better answer because it familiarizes people with the tragedies that happen, and it makes it seem like she's familiar with it. You can go and be mad about it, but if you thought any of those answers were good when it comes to like why Black people keep getting killed by the police, then you need to follow some better people on Twitter and read some better blogs and listen to some better podcasts and all that shit, because there's no fucking 30-second answer that can fix that.
True. And something I wanted to kind of piggyback on, something that John was talking about when he was talking about beating the drums. One thing about, about beating the drums, we live in an era where even though to us it might not seem like beating those drums matter, yeah, but people have been beating those drums for years, have been fucking ignored. But when social media came out, even if you wanted to ignore it, guess what? Now you can't ignore it. And if it wasn't for social media and all that shit, people, the Black Lives Matter movement wouldn't even have gotten to the point that it got to today. So, so I feel like sometimes, even though it feels like a fruitless battle, the problem is if everybody stops beating, that's going to be the problem. If everybody just walks away and be like, fuck it, that's the problem. You always need somebody beating that drum. And the thing about a beating drum, people always hear it. People up close, people are far off, people always hear it. And sometimes the quote unquote changes that we and expectations that we have may not happen instantly, and it may not happen in our lifetime, but I am the type of person where I believe that the change is going to happen, because the thing about slavery and all that shit took years. It's ingrained in our culture, so it's going to take years to change. And I think that with the generation of children now, they don't have a lot of the hang-ups that our generation had. We don't want to admit that, but our generation has a lot of hang-ups about social, about sexuality, about a lot of shit that this generation now would go, oh yeah, they transsexual, ain't nothing wrong with that. Oh yeah, they gay, ain't nothing wrong with that. Oh yeah, that's their girlfriend, ain't nothing wrong with that, you know, versus it's a lot of adults now that will flip a fucking fool, you know. So I think that as the generations change, and as old folks like us, quote unquote, you know, die off, and some of us are evolving and some of us are more accepting, because the person I am now, I'm not that same person 10 years ago. You LGBTQ, I didn't know what the fuck that was. So, you know, it causes people to grow and it causes people to evolve. And I think for me, social media, I can truly say, has caused me to read and see people's personal experiences. Because the thing about social media that people take for granted too, social media is personal. So if people can take their personal experiences and go out on social media and find other people that have had these same personal experiences,
right,
and can find a safe space, a space that they've never found before. You have people all across the country and literally all across the world that are Black. They can come on Twitter and have an experience because they go, oh, I found my place. I found somewhere where I can talk about the racism and not think I'm fucking crazy. Where I can talk about the sexism. Where I can bring these things up and somebody can say, well, I've had that same experience too. And also, it gives people a place, in my opinion, to find the network. Because a lot of times, these networks have been out there, but nobody knew these networks existed because you almost felt alone. So it also gives people to go, hey, you don't know, but here's a website. If you log on and type in the name of your city, it will tell you to stop the violence around you if you want to get involved. Like, you know, and like I say, it's a catch-22. I completely understand what you're saying, but I think people cannot. I think sometimes people underestimate the power of social media because social media has caused national people to look when they otherwise wouldn't looking. And the thing also about social media, and I've learned, especially when it comes to Black folks, the same people that fucking criticize us look on quote unquote Black Twitter and get the goddamn news from us too. So who needs who in this situation?
Yeah. There's a lot of that too. If you don't talk about something, then all of a sudden it's where were you? Right? Yeah. Like, it's such a thankless thing. Like, it's the reason I don't run to that. Like, when people try to be like, you're an activist, Rod, and you bring up so many social issues and political issues I wouldn't think. I'm like, don't call me that. Cause the second that I forget something, it's always a nigga like, oh, so I noticed this week y'all didn't talk about blah, blah. I'm like, what the fuck, nigga? Like, it's only so many hours in the goddamn day, man.
And nobody can do it all. But I do understand your
like, you figured it out. Like, that's the other thing. Nigga, you figured it out without me. So you heard about it somehow. So what the fuck would be the point of me bringing it up at this point? Like, I don't know. Anyway.
They want your opinion.
Right.
They want your opinion. They want to hear your voice. They want to see. They want you to tell them what to think.
You know what's funny, though, John? That would be okay if it wasn't that they brought it up to say that I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would be different if they said, yo, what do you think about this? Which I'm fine with. Shit happens all the time like that. Where, hey, man, did y'all talk about this yet? Yep, we did. This show, you know, check it out. Or, no, not yet, but we're getting to it. But when people hit you with the, I noticed you didn't talk about this.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, I talked about a lot of shit this week. It's hard.
I don't have the Black radar that informs me of every goddamn thing that's happened just like you don't.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed. I'm a human being and I don't have a fucking show producer or staff. Sometimes shit falls through the cracks. Speaking of falling through the cracks.
Segway.
Right. Dunkin' Donuts has struck back at Starbucks by releasing the Christmas cups, guys.
Oh,
that's right.
Shit. They want your money too. They're like, you can't be giving all this money to Starbucks.
It's a battle of the Christmas cups. They said
it's a battle of the coffee highs.
I don't know if you guys been following this Starbucks news, but Starbucks apparently took all the Christmassy logos and stuff off of their cups and they went with a solid red and green cup.
Just drink the damn coffee. I swear I did not understand what the big deal was.
You paid $9 for it anyway.
But if Jesus didn't bless my coffee, how will I know that it's going to turn water into wine? Come on now.
I'm like, really? This is really what we're... I mean, it's so much so that there were debates on CNN about this. And I'm thinking, this is what we're going to spend our time talking about. Whether or not it's some holly and some tinsel on fucking cup. I mean, really? This is really what we're talking about?
Right. Mm-hmm. I went to Starbucks the other day, and I was utterly disappointed. And because here's the thing that happened to me. I went there to get a coffee. I'm like, I just want a fucking coffee. I drive and work late at night. So I'm like... The lady asked me if I wanted chilled or hot. And I'm like, when is hot not the fucking default for fucking coffee?
You'll be amazed. It's called ice, buddy.
I
it's fucking hot.
You know what that, you know what's fucked up about that, John? That means, before you arrive, it was some other motherfucker that had a hissy fit.
When they got that hot ass coffee, but like, I wanted goddamn ice.
Right. I said I wanted a coffee and it wasn't no ice in my coffee. People were like,
sir, the default is hot.
Right. You know, the person at Star Wars looking around like, am I crazy? Are we serving ice coffee? Right. Are we asking that?
So they got enough of that, but they're like, fuck it, make a rule, always ask.
Oh my God.
So later I was like, really? You asked me how to, you know, a cold ice or hot? I'm like,
right.
That's like me walking into Saltgrass and asking for a fucking frozen steak.
Yeah.
Right. The shit don't make no sense.
Coffee. I want it hot. I want a steak. I want it hot. God damn it. Just give me a fucking coffee.
Right. I would like a Coca-Cola. Can you boil it for me first? just hand it on piping hot. Yeah. That is funny, man. But I just like that Dunkin' Donuts coffee is not fucking with Starbucks on any level, so it don't matter what they put on their cups. Nobody coming.
You know? I was just gonna say that. Who even goes to Dunkin' Donuts? Yeah. They're still around? I think I have seen one in the city of Houston. And
That's how you knew that the Starbucks coffee was still winning, because that dude's quote unquote boycott was to tell the people at the people that write your name on the coffee to say that your name is Merry Christmas, so you write Merry Christmas on the cup. But I was like, so you really just made Starbucks money? Is this like a conspiracy to get Starbucks sales up? Because you didn't hurt them at all. This is going to help them. If I was them next year, I would put Satan on the cup, man. Like, let's get this motherfucking money.
Right, let's make all the goddamn money.
Exactly.
I thought I put exasperated on my cup.
Yeah.
Just, wow.
Exasperated. Because I think for here, and that's the thing, it depends on where you live in the country, because, like I said, I'm not really a Dunkin' Donuts fan. I prefer Krispy Kreme. Mm-hmm. But here, Dunkin' Donuts are like popping up everywhere like fucking crack houses. You're like, goddamn, another goddamn Dunkin' Donuts? Come on, give me a break, y'all.
Yeah.
Karen, you caused the eye roll when you said Krispy Kreme.
Okay, so you know, here in Texas, especially here in Houston, there's been a huge uproar over Krispy Kreme infiltrating the Texas borders. Where we do Shipley's. Do y'all have Shipley's out there?
Nah.
What's that, sweetie?
Oh, we're gonna have to. I guess you can't really send Shipley's donuts. It's not gonna be the same thing.
Shipley's is the best donuts.
Okay.
And so when we brought in, I used to live in Atlanta, so I knew what Krispy Kreme was. Mm-hmm. But when we I guess here maybe within the last month or so, Krispy Kreme has come onto the scene and has made the Shipley fanatics of Texas really, really upset. Like, it's been huge, it's kind of like the Starbucks cup.
Right, kind of like the Bojangles and Popeyes, because Bojangles rolls deep over here and Popeyes is popping up and niggas like, fuck you, Popeyes.
Oh, wow. Okay, so yeah, it's exactly like that.
You got a Bojangles
down
here.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly what it is. Wow.
Well, speaking of food, Amazon is bringing restaurant food delivery to more than 20 cities in the U.S.
That's what I'm talking about. Is it come free with my Amazon Prime? I am all in. Thank you, Amazon. Give me every fucking thing. Run the world and make them kids work harder.
Amazon definitely owns slaves, is what I'm saying. There's no way Amazon don't own slaves.
Come on now.
Like, they on the low, they brought back slavery and nobody noticed because it only costs us like $80 a year
right.
to sign up.
Amazon, like, give us $100, you get unlimited shipping, and most people to get Amazon Prime end up buying more shit. You get Amazon Prime, watch all the videos and DVDs you want. We gonna ship shit to your house. We gonna get the food delivery service there. After a while, you just gonna be able to sit, and we gonna get drones to drop the shit off.
Well, according to this, it's gonna start in September. They already had tried it in Seattle in August, but by September they already had partnered with several restaurants in the Seattle area to bring lunch and dinner to citizens in certain parts of the Emerald City. The service works through Amazon Prime. Through their Now application, which offers free 2-hour delivery and 1-hour delivery for $7.99.
Goddamn.
Yeah, so 2-hour delivery is free. What is their fucking money? Like, how do they make money? It's like, hey, we can deliver your food in 2 hours. How much extra would that cost you? Nothing. How is the fuck is that possible?
Could you know what? All housewives, not housewives, but like, people with like children and shit like that, you could be like, look, I be home. The kids be home at 3. Okay, go ahead and order in. And by the time everybody get home, you have dinner. You know,
I understand why people would do it, Karen. I understand why. I'm saying when fucking a slave with one foot chopped off shows up at your door holding a goddamn box of Krispy Kreme, don't say you didn't hear it first that these motherfuckers own slaves. You heard it here first. Amazon definitely owns slaves. There's no way that this money makes sense. This business model.
Do you pay them in rice? I don't understand.
The business model.
They make your money.
Yeah. The business model. I want to see they motherfucking taxes, man.
Pay them in hay pennies.
This don't make sense. Just, there's no service like this.
They got a line on their thing that goes slavery.
There's a delivery fee on, if you order one pizza, just one pizza, there's a delivery fee on one pizza. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want a pizza from Papa John's, $5 delivery fee. Like, that's not even counting the tip, and the driver doesn't even get to see that money most of the time.
Right.
What the fuck is Amazon doing?
Oh, they gonna put people out of business. They was like, oh, I will wait 2 hours. Free?
I mean, I could just order a pizza from my favorite restaurant, go Amazon, deliver this, 2 hours. They go, okay, for free. No problem.
Right, it's gonna eat their business up. I mean, well, it's actually gonna benefit them. All their orders gonna be going through Amazon. People gonna like, fuck it, why am I gonna call and go online?
Does the driver get a tip? Do I tip an Amazon driver?
Yeah, when they're gonna be like Uber. You gonna see Amazon Prime shit rolling around all over your place.
Uber don't let you tip the drivers.
They don't?
Yeah, they're not.
Use the Uber. They don't let you tip them?
I don't think you're supposed to, dog. I'm pretty sure that that's the thing. It's like, oh, we're not like taxis. Like, you just pay for this shit and you good. Yeah, man. And the other places they plan on doing this, Atlanta, Austin, Baltimore. Everybody in the audience is waiting for the city, right?
I was like, oh fuck, he's not gonna be Charlotte then.
Everybody was against it. Everybody was against it till I started naming these cities. Watch this. Chicago, Dallas, Houston.
Oh shit!
Y'all getting slaves?
You get a slave.
Indianapolis, Las Vegas, L.A., and the cities in Orange County, New York, Miami, Minneapolis, and St. Paul, Phoenix, Portland, Sacramento, San Antonio, San Francisco, and Seattle.
I have a question. You just go in all the cities in Orange County. How big is this goddamn Orange County? You was like, oh, y'all get it.
No idea.
Okay.
I don't know. But yeah, man, people about to damn be having slaves deliver their food and shit, mm-hmm. Man.
I wish it was him.
I know you do. You don't care.
Mm-mm. I told you. Mm-mm.
They about to put Seamless, Grubhub, Uber Eats, Eat24, all that shit about to go out of business. Watch.
You know what? Yeah, because all them, they've been around for a long time. I know they're hearing this news like, shit.
And Amazon's so crafty, like, if you look at a pizza, but then you go log on Facebook, you know the first ad you're going to see is going to be like, I know you want that pizza.
And not only that, you know Amazon sends shit anyway, so you're going to hover over that pizza too long. Next thing you're going to be, ding dong, you want a pizza? I didn't order no pizza. Well, they said it's free. You hovered over it for about 5 minutes too long.
Right.
So next, you know, thank you.
It's going to be on Facebook like, you can have pizza by 5 o'clock today.
Yes!
Why you bullshitting?
Yes, that was like, you can have this Baskin Robbins by lunch break. What? Yeah. I can?
All right. Let's do some, I don't think we got into this yet, but let's do some, fucking with black people. Cause, you know.
Is this really a segment? Is that really what you called this?
Yep.
That is what we call it.
Fucking with black people.
And it has its own song. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, America. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the world and we find articles that we play or read about fucking with black people and how much we feel fucked with from 0 to 100 on intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. That's right.
Everybody.
Everybody was fucking with black people.
You froze on the screen, baby.
Oh, okay. Well, then let me refresh on the screen real quick.
Great smile, though.
Thanks, man.
I know it just paused in your smile. And somebody was like, Rod's frozen. I was like, wait a minute. He might be frozen for everybody.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's a good, that's a good picture to be frozen on. Knowing that they catch you rolling your eyes or some shit.
Right.
Sneezing. All right. So here we go. Number one, country music star, Jason Aldean. Have you guys ever heard of him?
Mm-mm.
I have.
Oh, that's right. They're in Houston. Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah, y'all know Jason Aldean. Apparently, let's see, if I go on Spotify, his number one listened to hit is Burning It Down.
Oh.
Let's see what this
Oh, this must be new school country.
Finger, through the tear in my t-shirt, you're stirring up dirty in the back of my mind. You keep on flirting.
Wait, that's what country sound like now?
Right, I'm like, what a goddamn guitar. I'm old, y'all. I'm sorry.
Is that somewhere?
I was kind of waiting for some motherfucking, for the bass to drop in that bitch.
Where the rapper?
Like, you know, cause that's how them songs be starting, that
yes.
That it's working. You're stuck in my head, girl, riding the lines. Couldn't sing a song without you if I tried. Let's light it up like it's our last one. We're just hanging around, burning it down.
All right.
No shit now.
Well, apparently, country star Jason Aldean, 47th on Forbes highest paid celebrities list, didn't get the memo this Halloween and went out in blackface and dreadlocks.
No, he didn't.
Yes.
So let me clarify, because that's how I heard of him. I wasn't rocking.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, because I know y'all in Houston.
I didn't know about him until he thought he was Lil Wayne. So.
That makes more sense. Okay.
I didn't know him prior to.
Oh, you heard of him from Violating. Okay. And well, and John, how'd you hear about him from?
Exactly.
Same way.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
Because I know country music is heavy down in Texas. So I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. This is all coming together now. It's kind of like how most people know Riley Cooper, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, oh, like, I like how Riley Cooper was mostly known for being racist. And then that motherfucker went out and caught like 37 touchdowns that year to try to get that racism off of him. Nope, still known for being racist. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck how good you get. let's say, yeah, that's him on the left in blackface and dreadlocks. When the picture above first fell in my lap, I was told it was a picture of Jason Aldean and his wife. Oh, look at his wife though. His wife got like blonde cornrows or something, and she wearing...
She like a blood or something, huh?
Yeah, she got the buttoned up, like, the shirt with only the top button is buttoned, like she's supposed to be, like, in a Latino
chulo,
game.
Chulo. What you call those? They're chulos.
Cholos.
Yeah, she's like a cholo or something, mm-hmm. Yeah.
What, you know, hey, I don't know, whatever, you know yeah, what I mean?
Whenever I see shit like this, though, I always wonder, like, do the other white people in the picture go, so I guess Jason didn't get the memo? Because nobody else went blackface. Everybody else was like, you know what, close enough, this is whatever I'm got on, don't need nothing more than that. And he's the only one that's like, I'm going all the way tonight.
Could you imagine how many people he asked to take a picture? I was like, no, I will not be taking a picture with you, sir. No, I don't want to be on the internet.
Right, I'm gonna win the contest tonight. I'm gonna have the most authentic Lil Wayne costume.
He was asking people to take a picture. They were running.
Here's the thing that's amazing about this picture. If I pass this picture out to 99% of America and said, who was he supposed to be? Nobody would guess Lil Wayne.
Exactly. Because he don't look like
you
Lil
still
Wayne.
Don't look like Lil. You go blackface and you still don't look like the nigga. You should have to take it off. I'm sorry. I'm actually allowing more than other black people that a very specific type of blackface I would be okay with. If I saw somebody and went, oh, I thought I saw Lil Wayne tonight. That was a white man? What? Like, I think I would give that a pass. Now, I'm not 100% sure because it's never happened, but I feel like if it did happen, I would be like, you know what? I gotta be impressed with that white man. That's crazy as hell. But, not this shit.
The white friend who just sit back and say, no, don't do this. Not tonight.
Yeah.
I bet he showed up.
No, 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 no. You, like, Let's rethink this whole outfit real quick.
Yeah. Right. You know, and you know somebody told him that. And could you imagine now when you send out memos, you gotta be like, and hey, please don't wear blackface. And he was like, fuck, he didn't read the memo.
Right. zero to 100, Karen, how much you give this one in? Intervals of 25.
Oh, he gets 100.
100 from Karen. What about you, John?
I have to give him 75.
75. What about you, Tanisha?
I think I'm with Karen. I'm going to give him 100. I mean, it's 2015. Do you really need a memo at this particular point in time? Come on now. He's out of line.
Yeah, I'm going to give him 100 because he went the full blackface. You know, like, he knew what was up. Yeah. He knew what was up. All right, let's see. How about this one? More fucking with black people. Federal agents bust up a plot by Virginia white supremacists to shoot up black churches to start a race war.
Start a what?
A race war.
Ah, Lord.
Yo, white people are obsessed with this race war that's supposed to be coming.
And they would be the main ones who tell you there is no race. I don't see race. I don't see color. I don't, you know.
Right.
There's no racial diversity in this country. We're all people.
Yeah.
It's that shit.
They only want a race war because they know they going to win. That's the only reason. If they really thought they was going to lose, they wouldn't even be doing this, man. But they know they already got all the tanks and shit.
All the guns.
Right. But yeah, these motherfuckers. Oh, wait, I could play an article. Okay, cool.
A story you won't see anywhere else. Three local men busted by the FBI.
By the way, that is a horrible start to this news report about racism. Where he's like, a story you won't see anywhere else. Because no one cares about these niggas. Anyway. Let's move on. They had to have a white dude say that too. That's terrible.
A story you won't see anywhere else. Three local men busted by the FBI accused of plotting to bomb churches and synagogues. I'm Bill Fitzgerald.
I'm Candace Burns. Our John Broquette is live to tell us what court papers are revealing about this case. John?
Candace, there are some disturbing details in these federal court documents, including plans to bomb and shoot up black churches and Jewish synagogues. Also a plot to kill a local jewelry store owner, rob an armored car, and harm a gun dealer here in Virginia. Plans to commit crimes and use the proceeds to purchase land, stockpile weapons, and train for the so-called coming race war are foiled by the FBI. Neighbors say they saw the feds swarm in on this Chesterfield County home around 11 Sunday morning.
There were probably around 15 cars, most of the cars unmarked. There were police canine, and then I saw a lot of several persons that were out with camo on carrying weapons.
Federal court documents reveal this home on Candlewick Lane is where Robert Doyle and Ronald Beasley Cheney and others ascribe to a white supremacy version of the Asatru faith. The FBI received information that a meeting would be held at this home in late September to discuss acting out their extremist beliefs by shooting or bombing occupants of black churches and Jewish synagogues and plotting to kill a gun store owner in Oklahoma.
Somebody told.
It's also alleged that Doyle met up with Charles Halderman to plan the murder of a local jeweler, robbing an armored truck, and doing harm to a gun store owner here in Virginia. The three are charged with one felony apiece for now.
With all the allegations that are in there, you know, this one particular charge is probably not going to be the final charge. This is something that they use to hold them. With the allegations that you see in there, I would expect that there will be other charges that come down the road.
It's in the back of your mind, but when it's right around the corner.
Rodney Clark is chairman of a trustees board at a Baptist church close to where the feds say the extremist meetings were taking place. He says even prior to hearing the details in these documents, their church had already started securing the sanctuary.
You can't come to worship God and be at peace and have your mind focused on Him without having to worry about what may happen.
Bill and Candace, federal documents allege that Robert Doyle had met with an undercover FBI agent on numerous times and checked out automatic weapons, explosives, and silencers he wanted to purchase.
Shit.
Yesterday was when that purchase was supposed to go down. Working for you outside the federal courthouse.
Yeah, that's terrorism. Like, they need to hit them with them terrorism charges.
Yep, because I bet you there was some brown.
It'll never be labeled like that.
Right. Like, that's just terrorism. I don't know why they... A white supremacist group, hate crime, all that. Nah, that's terrorism, dog. They was gonna kill. gonna terrorize them black people, man.
Come on now.
But yeah, 0 to 100, Karen, how much you feel fucked with?
100.
All right. What about you, Tanisha?
Yeah, I'm at 100 on this one too.
All right, John.
I'm with the group.
All right, and I feel 100% fucked with as well.
Mm-hmm. Damn, yeah. That shit. That sounds like a plot to a bad movie.
The other thing is, even if they did all that shit, it wouldn't have worked.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like someone did shoot up a church this year. The race war didn't start. Like, nobody was going now to kill all the white people. We were like, yo, that white boy was crazy, and that's a very big tragedy. That's how it happens. Like, if white people think killing black people is gonna be the thing that starts the revolution, then they haven't been paying very close attention to history. It's just not, that's not how it's gonna happen.
No, it's definitely not.
Like, if they really wanted to start the revolution, they need to kill a whole bunch of white people.
My thing is, what robbing a jewelry store in an armored truck?
Yeah, what was that about?
It's just out of the blue. It's just out of this grand plan. Hey, we're gonna hit up Jared's.
Yeah. He's like, you know,
go get the Brinks truck.
While we starting this race war, now, I mean, hey, look, I hate niggas as much as everybody in here, okay? But before we get started, I was just thinking, had my eye on this
together.
Yeah, I had my eye on this bracelet. Is what I'm saying. And
she been wanting it. It's 18 carats.
Maybe we stop by the jewelry store, kill Floyd too. That's all I'm saying. Just make a. It's only five miles away from the church. We just start there.
Come back.
Yeah. Oh, I'm off. Okay. Let me refresh. But yeah, that was one of them. Let's see. Let's go to Baller Alert after this, because I feel like we've been actively fucked with enough.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no need to keep that going.
Mm-mm.
All right, so let's get to our Ball Alert section. Where did I put the Ball Alert music? Where are we at? Oh, here we go. All right. Yeah. Hey, y'all, I'm looking for a five-star to talk about. Got it, here go 12 bar. Gucci man got 9 car. We don't call him down no more. Oh, now we call him 5-star. 5-star nigga, that's a 5-star click. That's a 6 for that 5. That's that new L6. Pay her bills, get her hair fixed, might even pay her rent. And the way she give it to me, best money I ever spent. I can't even lie. I'm so super high. Do not need her, will not keep her unless she is fly. Gucci man's a thug B. Yo man is a scrub. See, she love me now, she love you not now. All my bitches love me. If you in Atlanta, Lala Gucci girl and beat me. You can find a 5-star hotel, you can meet me. 5-star bitch, that's a 5-star. And that's a 5-star. And that's a 5-star. If your credits go high, you can nail stay fly. Keep your juice box wet and your head some fire. You a 5-star. And you a 5-star. And you a 5-star. All right. Here are your choices.
Don't just segue like you just can't do all of that. I have something to say. I feel like I need to be throwing some dollars in the air.
Yes! But like, where is the polls in the building?
Here are your choices for the Baller Alert story of the day. Number one, groupie tales. Another Ricardo Lockett tale. Now, groupie tales are when women sleep with people and then they give us all the juicy details.
Mm-hmm.
Typically famous people. Now, Ricardo Lockett is a wide receiver who's out for the season for Seattle because he damn near got his neck broke. But
yeah, shit, yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. But he's back. Actually, he gave 100 hamburgers out to homeless people the other day. So good for him. So he's back, but he has a groupie tale. Number two, recognizing the men who just want sex, blogged by @ProudlyLauren. Now, this is when they give you advice typically to women, about how to, you know, to navigate the world.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, groupie tales. The game picks his groupies up at the Louis Vuitton store.
Oh, shit.
We all know the rap of the game. Number four, Tony Rock's groupie story. I think Tony Rock is the brother of Chris Rock. And let's see, number five, groupie tales, applause and a shouty in Miami. Now you guys collaborate on which one you would like to hear. Ricardo Lockett, recognizing the men who just want sex, The Game, Tony Rock, or applause.
I'm almost at the point where I want to hear this Tony Rock story, because I'm like, who would fuck with Chris Rock, let alone his brother? I got it. Tanisha?
I'm trying to look up Ricardo Lockett so I can see what he... I know who he is, but I need to see his face.
He got fucked up on the field a couple weeks ago.
Okay, just let me see to my own. I need to see what he looks like first. I can determine whether or not I need to know anything else about it. Y'all go right ahead. Come back to me.
I'll put his picture in the chat if you want to see it on the screen. I don't know if y'all had the screen up for the chat room.
Okay, so that's him. Yeah. Okay. He about on the same lines with Chris Rock's brother. I'm not interested in...
Oh, shit.
Never mind.
Okay, all right. Well, what about... Let's see. Who are the other choices? The Game?
Nah.
And Shot Plies.
All right, let's hear Plies.
All right.
The fucking fool.
Now, Plies has been on here several times. each time
the
more...
The groupies be telling.
Yeah, each time more memorable than the last. He apparently gets it in with the groupies many on many occasions. Here is
a picture
of him.
Oh, that picture.
This must be a promotional picture for something.
Gotta be.
As you see, he's very familiar with the ladies. All right. You know what time it is. Time for another groupie tale. Like the last few, this one is a few years old, but groupie tales are always fun. Since Plies is such a freak in his music, find out if it translates to the bedroom below. Groupie tales are submitted by our readers. We cannot confirm 100% accuracy of any story posted. Okay, I ran into Plies at one of his shows, and he had did in Miami like a year ago. He wasn't really famous like he is now, so while he was doing the show, he was pulling girls up on the stage with him, and being that I was in the front row, he pulled me up and started to sing, rap his hit at the time, Shouted. So like 30 minutes later, me and him got out. She was on stage for 30 minutes?
Damn.
I know, right?
I hope you got a check.
I was gonna say, she gotta get paid for that.
Right.
So you put on a performance.
Nigga, I'm a dancer now. I want my money. Anyway. So like 30 minutes later, me and him got off the stage, and as I went to leave him, he grabbed my hand and asked me what my name was. So I was like, Ashley. And as we got to talking, I saw a whole other side of him. So we got to laughing and talking about him, life, and his brother that's locked up. So it was like the whole time we was talking, he was steady catching feelings. So his manager had came backstage and told him that he had another show to do. So we switched numbers, and he said he'll call me. So later on that day, how do you switch numbers? Do you like get each other's phone?
Okay, wait, I have a question before you finish. Now, how long ago was this? Because I didn't even know Plies did shows anymore. He has no more songs. So how long ago was this?
A couple years ago.
It doesn't say when. It just says a couple years ago. I guess Shouty was his number one hit.
Eons ago. Okay, go
so,
right ahead.
So that's a minute, yeah.
Okay.
So later on that day, I was like 10, it was like 10:30 p.m. and I had just got out the shower getting ready to go to sleep until my phone went off. And as I looked at the number, it said Plies. And oh my God, I got the screaming like somebody was killing me. So I had picked up and we was talking for like 10 minutes and he had asked me if I could come. And since he's older than me, he was like, or is it past your bedtime? So I laughed and said, yeah, I could come over. So I was like, I'll be there in an hour, like an hour, and out of nowhere, he said, no, I don't want you to drive. You too pretty for that. I'll have one of my homies come pick you up. 30 minutes later, his home, right? Is that Game? I don't know. 30 minutes.
Girl. We so picked the wrong story. We so missed the boat with this one.
Girl, I'm so romantic, I'll call Uber for you. You ain't gotta do all that, girl. I got this taxi.
I'm gonna reimburse you for the bus. Get the bus. Yeah.
Girl, I got that $175. Don't you worry about that, Shouty.
I'll pay for the transfer and everything, girl. Yeah.
30 minutes later, his homie pulled up, and as I was getting in, Plies was on the webcam, lol, looking so cute on the laptop screen. So we started talking through webcams until I got there, and when I got there, he would open the door and his PJs, which is nothing but his b-ball shorts and some ankle socks. So he told by the way Didn't we all know those applies, PJs? I mean,
of course.
Did I need a story to tell me that? I knew that's what applies were. So he told me to come in as he closed the door and walked me into the living room. And, oh my God, the way he had it set up. Oh my God, it was so pretty. We sat down and started talking. The next thing I know, he started kissing me from my hand to my neck so softly. I started kissing him back. So we was kissing for 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Just get through it. Just get through it.
Okay.
Push through it.
Woo. And I was so wet. So he told me to lay on the couch on my back. So he started taking my shirt and pants and my bra. Oh my God. He took my boy shorts off, y'all, with his teeth. And he started kissing me from head to toe. Then he teased me for like 3 minutes with his tongue until he finally ate the pussy. And oh my God, he had me running. Oh my God, I was on Mars and I didn't want to come back. I mean, the way he used his tongue is like, amazing.
That's how it's written, y'all, too, just so you know.
I flipped him over and started kissing and licking his body until I got to his dick. And I always thought he was small, but oh my God, I was wrong. His dick is about 9 inches and not too thick when it's hard. So he teased me. I teased him back until I finally started sucking and licking it, and he really went crazy. And when I went around his dickhead with the tip of my tongue, After that, we did the 69 for about 13 minutes.
Oh, shit. Oh, Lord. What, she have a stop clock?
13 minutes? How does she know?
Right.
It ain't 10 or 15. It's specifically 13.
What has she done? She hit the time on her. I watched. What's happening?
I knew because Aqua Teen Hunger Force was exactly 13 minutes, and then it went off the commercial. How did she know that? How did she know? Anyway. After that, we did the 69 for about 13 minutes. Then he spread my legs and went deep. Oh my God, it felt so good to the point where I was like zoned out. Like, oh my God. And his stroke game is on another planet. And like every time I moaned in his ear, he just went deeper. And after 30 minutes, he wanted to give me back shots. But I was like, I got something better. So I started giving him a lap dance for about 10 minutes. Then I laid him on the floor and just did a split on his dick. And he went nuts. He started talking, saying, dang, ain't no girl ever did that to me or on me before. So the whole time he was talking, moaning, I was riding him smooth and fast. And then I started riding him backwards for 20 minutes until it's like a workout routine.
Right, I'm about to say, what she do? 5 burpees, 3 squats, and then repeat the process? What's happening here?
I did 3 reps of 10 on his nuts. And then...
Yes! I lifted his balls for 5 minutes with the kettlebells. What's happening here?
I did a pull up on his nipples. And I was.
Right.
All right. So, what was I? For like 20 minutes until he whispered in my ear asking me if he could give me back shots. So I was like, yeah. So I bent over the table and started smacking my ass for a minute till he put it in. And oh my God. He just went hard. Oh my God. Clyde gave banging head and back shots and he don't play. So he started talking dirty and freaking to me while he was giving me the back shots. Fringing me? What is that?
Way too old to know what that is. The young people can tell us. What does that mean? Somebody please tell us what that means.
Send us an email.
F-R-I-N-G-I-N-G.
She meant fingering.
That makes more sense.
Okay. There you go. You speak that. Thank you, Tanisha.
I have a child in high school.
There you
I
go.
That's what that
okay. Yeah. He was fringing me. Okay.
A child okay. in high school.
He was fringing me. So after 40 minutes of that, I rode him again. 40 minutes?
I'm sorry. Fingering?
40 minutes of back shots and fingering. Didn't y'all just do 7 reps of 20?
Yes, we did. You ought to be good and tired now.
Y'all must be at the damn, y'all, at some point, y'all got to get to the cool down portion of this exercise.
Right. We got to stretch.
Right. Anyway, it was halftime and he was, anyway. So 40 minutes and that, I rode him again until I came all over his dick and I licked it off. Then we came again, but this time together. Oh my God. When he got done, it was 7:43 a.m. and we both looked at our phones and saw we had made missed calls. and he was like, that was amazing. And we took our shower together, and after that we stayed in touch. I became his girlfriend. And on Mondays when he's not busy, me and him and his son, we go out to eat and catch a movie or something. And since we've been together, his sex got better.
Only on Mondays.
Right.
I'm convinced this cannot be a real story. It cannot be real. It simply cannot. Do they verify these stories before they post them, or just can anybody post?
Well, typically the chat room verifies. I mean, not chat room. They have like a chat section for people to leave comments, and the commenters will typically do all the investigative work.
They've been investigating hard too.
Now here are the comments. Sandy Cheek says, "Horse shit to infinity and beyond."
Exactly. I'm with Sandy.
So he started talking my shirt and pants and bra. Really? That was the part she had a problem with? Okay. Ahab Magnum says, questionable. G Lee says, this is a joke, right? Beautiful Brownie says, 13 minutes. If it was all like that, how the heck do you know it was 13 minutes? 30 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, finished at 7:43 a.m. Must have been taking notes in the process. Nico Rose says, this is a mess. Let me find out. Plies takes your pants, shirt, bra, and dreams off to smash. That's something new right there. Laughing my black ass off. Draws, not dreams. Okay, so she's... okay, she had a typo. Shell Israel says, I became his girlfriend. Girl, bye. Stop the lies. Hey, Mia says, at Sandy Cheeks, I'm literally crying at horse shit to infinity and beyond. Miss You Can Never Get Enough says, did she turn him over to lick his body, or did she mean booty? I'm just saying.
Oh.
Well, that puts a whole different spin on it. Christina says, what's with the timeline? Was she checking the clock like that? LOL, this story is all kinds of ridiculous. And that's it for this.
Sound like they ain't believe it either.
That's it for the comments on this one. Play me out, Young Gotti. Yo Gotti.
It's your boy Yo Gotti. I do grade A shit. I'm the realest nigga walking, and this the remix. And I'm still out here looking for a 5-star chick. When I catch her, I'm a fester with a 5-star kick. She a natural born hustler. She ain't chasing no suckers. Only mess with real niggas. She ain't never fucked a bustle. So your cars and your jewelry, that shit really don't excite her. All your hating assholes in the club won't fight her. She was born in the A, went to school in D.C. Got a job in Dallas, Texas. Then she moved to Tennessee. If she ain't a 5-star shorty, go ahead and face it. Fake Gucci, fake Louis shorty, that'll make you basic. It ain't a 5-star. It ain't a 5-star. It ain't a 5-star.
All right. I can't do Trina versus it. We'll never get off here.
I'm about to say Trina the best part.
We got guests, man. We got guests. I ain't want to take up more of y'all time with Trina, man. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
Tomorrow. All right, guess the race. All right, guys, time to play our other game. Play some guess the race.
Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Ba-da-bump.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, John and Tanisha from the Ink Podcast, to guess the race, and the chat room plays along, and chat room's racist.
Yes, they are.
All right.
So are John and Tanisha, sorry.
All right, good. You guys will fit right in. A Tennessee attorney apologizes for poisoning his wife's toothpaste and trying to have her killed twice.
Well, goddamn.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So is this multiple choice?
Well, no, just one. Just one choice. I mean, you can pick of any of the races.
Yeah, any,
I mean,
race, any race you want.
It's whatever your imagination can dream.
what you got?
I gotta go white, because killing someone...
Oh, did we lose? John, can't hear you. What? Did y'all break up? John.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
I think we lost him.
John! Internet connection problem. Oh, is this on our end? Or?
No, because we're still moving.
Okay. We still good on our side?
You might have to reconnect. You know, sometimes it does that.
Yeah. It's going to try to call him back. and see if that is working. But until then, that I like that they were gonna guess right off the bat. Like John was like,
I'm ready.
I don't need no details. My racism is on fleek. Now saying he's offline, so maybe his internet went out or something.
Yeah, they might be trying to reboot it.
All right, well, let's do this one for the chat room, and then if they come back, we'll do it for them.
Yeah, we'll try to call them back.
This is Collierville, Tennessee, is what this is. And just in the background, try to call them back and see what happens. Collierville, Tennessee, a lot of emotion and tears and an apology-filled courtroom Tuesday as Fred Wortman faced the wife he tried to kill when she took the witness stand. Wortman, an attorney, found himself on the other side of the courtroom table in jail cell. He accepted a plea of allegations. He tried to kill his wife 3 different times.
Well, goddamn.
His wife, at first you don't succeed, Karen. His wife, Stacy, took the stand Tuesday. Austin, your children are praying for you daily that your heart will change. Stacy Wortman fought back tears as she told the judge and her husband about the pain she and her children are feeling after her husband tried to kill her. I still struggle, but my children are the greatest victims. They know he's in jail. They know he wanted me not to be alive anymore. They know he has to face the consequences, she said. During the court proceedings Tuesday, prosecutors said Fred Wortman tried to kill his wife by hiring a hitman, offering money to an inmate in Fayette County, and poisoning her toothpaste. He apologized to his family for the pain he has caused him. No apology which I offer will be sufficient to all who I have disappointed, let down, and hurt. I do apologize to Stacy the Joneses, my parents, my family. Most of all, I apologize to my 3 precious children. Tuesday's plea was in regards to the toothpaste incident. Monday, he accepted pleas for trying to pay a hitman to pay an inmate to kill and pay an inmate to hit his kill his wife. Okay, they back.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, yo, y'all there?
I will simply blame Tanisha.
Don't blame me for anything. I was just sitting here.
Well, basically, we started reading the article, and he tried to have her killed 3 different times. Once by an inmate, then he tried to hire a hitman, and he poisoned her toothpaste. He apologized to her family, his family, his kids, his parents, and he accepted the plea deals, and he got a 30-year prison sentence. So guess the race of Fred Wortman, attorney, and apparently guy who doesn't like his wife very much.
Should have just divorced him.
Definitely white.
All right.
Yeah,
white.
That's
I gotta go white guy.
All right.
To be able to afford to kill your wife. It's a whole different level. A black dude would just
kill his wife. Yeah,
His wife. It's safe, right? Just kill his wife. I gotta go. White person. They will hire people to kill you.
Okay. Let's see. The chat room says whiter than the cast of that new Exodus movie. She's alive and well because rednecks don't brush their teeth. Says HC.
Aww.
So that's white. That's white. White because a black man would have just walked out on his family. Oh, Black Rob. Goddamn.
Y'all make me choke.
Joe Spacey says white man who never heard of just leaving. Future supervillain says should have watched some Discovery ID and got it right the first time. White. Recognized Pace says white. Lauren says only a white man contracts out his domestic violence. Where's your pride and your craft, dude? A black guy would have had a cousin to do it instead of contracting out white. He has to be white and white. The correct answer is, and everybody got it, white. Yeah, that, and then he told so many people you knew he was going to get caught.
Come on now.
I'm telling you, if you want to kill your wife after the first person says no, that's it. Cause they I've seen every TV show. They gonna go tell.
Yes, they are.
That's how all the TV shows happen. Is that you tell a nigga you want to kill your wife, and then the police, the next person you talk to is actually a police officer. Like, you need your wife killed. You know what I mean? So just don't. If the first person says no, you have to stop.
The rednecks don't brush their teeth comment is fucking hilarious.
My favorite is a black dude would have just walked out on the family. Like, it's so racist, but it's so good. It is true.
Lord.
It is funny.
I'm going to the store and he'll never come back.
Right.
Going to go buy some cigarettes.
Right, yeah. Oh, I left my Newports at the store. I'll be right back. Right. Unless you make it to the NBA, then I'll see you in 18 years. Oh, shit. Number two, a woman arrested for Denny's pancake rage.
Oh, shit.
Meet Natasha. Meet Natasha West, a Chicagoan, 27. She's facing assault and property damage charges after becoming unhinged when a Denny's waitress explained that she was not allowed to share her $4 all-you-can-eat pancake special with her friends. West was dining Friday at Denny's in Oaklawn, a Chicago suburb, when a server explained that the unlimited pancake offer was only good for a single diner. This did not sit well with West, who was apparently under the impression that $4 bought everyone at the table unending pancakes.
What?
Yeah, that's like if you go like Italian Garden, Olive Garden. Olive Garden. You go to Olive Garden and you're like, yeah, y'all had unlimited pasta, so I just brought a bus full of motherfuckers up in here.
Oh, we all
gonna eat out of my bowl. You know what I mean? Like, nah. According to Oakland Police Department, West cursed at the waitress and threw several punches at the employee, though the blows did not land. West and her party then left Denny's without paying their tab at all.
Oh, shit.
But not before she repeatedly kicked the door on the way out.
Well,
goddamn. Mm-hmm. Yep. She was caught after Denny's workers gave police a description of the car in which she and her pals fled. She was charged with assault and damage to property. One of her friends, Jerome Ivory, 31, was busted for providing the police with false identification. Guess the race of Natasha West. Oh, shit. We lost him again. God dog it. Well, we're trying to get the call back. But chat room, you guys guessed the race. And hopefully we'll get them back on the line and we'll be able to wrap it up. Let's see. Who you fitting to try? Not this bitch. Black.
Ah!
Oh, she was black. Oh, she black. Okay. Ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. Black.
Oh.
Black. Chiral Jigaboos. I guess Chirac Jigaboos drove to the good neighborhood to eat all the white man's pancakes. Black. One whose neck turned and eyes rolled so much the waitress thought she was possessed. Black. That's why we don't go to that Denny's anymore. Should have never gave you niggas grand slams.
Aww.
Surviving the odds by being alive in Chicago as it is. Black. N-I-G-G-A-S, says Coco Cure.
Yeah!
After leaving Denny's, she headed for Waffle House. The correct answer is black. She was definitely a black lady. Oh, they called in. Hey, so did you guys have guesses for the race?
Are you serious? Like, no, are you really serious with this? Natasha is a sister.
All right, there you go. John?
I said black even at just yeah. the headline gave me black.
There you go, you guys are both right. All right, let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, it's the bonus round against the race, where it's double the points, double the race. So far, both of the people in this show and the audience are all 2 for 2. But can they keep it going in the bonus round? Let's see. Things are getting intense. You guys getting nervous?
We are.
I'm ready.
All right. apparently Patti LaBelle came out with some pies.
Yes, she did.
Some sweet potato pies. And a man posted a video review. Let's see if I can turn this up.
And in a completely unrelated transition, a review of sweet potato pies is breaking the internet tonight.
Literally. A man who's clearly a fan of Patti LaBelle sings her praises because he says, boy, can she bake.
Sweet potato Patti LaBelle. This is the Patty edition, honey. This is the on my own. Why did it end this way? Patty.
First of all, was that a man?
And about Tara in the video. Patty! Whoa! Yeah. turned into Patty. You turned into Patty after eating this.
If You Only Knew, that's the name of that song. Well, oh, that's James Wright Chanel, and his review of the Patti LaBelle pies now being sold at Walmart. He goes on to sing more songs and taste more pie, even do some dancing at the end, just like Patty does. It's hilarious. The video has been seen more than 2.7 million times. Even Patti LaBelle shared the video on her Facebook and Twitter pages.
He's got quite the range as well.
Big things ahead
for
that
talented guy. Very talented, yes.
Very talented. And a lot of people are now copying him. So they're going to buy these pies and then posting videos on YouTube.
I think that's even better.
It is. It's pretty funny.
You know what I'm doing tonight. Jimmy Butler gets...
Eating and posting videos. Are you eating Patti LaBelle's pies?
Night in Chicago.
Now, guess the race of this man who apparently... James Wright... Who ate these pies.
I mean, that's good, but the whole video is hilarious.
Yeah. Do you want me to play the whole video, Karen?
Yes, please.
All right. Karen wants to play the whole video, guys. I'm sorry.
Because it's not justice with them clipping in and out.
All right. All right. I don't know how long this video is.
It's not long.
All right. Let's,
About a minute and a half.
Right. It's all not right. long at all.
Actually, two videos.
Greetings! So, I went to the store.
Hold on. What'd you say, Tanisha? I'm sorry.
No, there's actually two videos. There's a part one and a part two. Have you seen both videos?
No, this is the only one I know of.
Oh no, it's a part two too. All right. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
After I seen somebody post that Patti LaBelle pie, I love Patti LaBelle. Shout out to Patti LaBelle, honey. I went and bought the Patti LaBelle pie. Sweet potato Patti LaBelle. This is the Patty edition, honey. This is the on my own. Why did it end this way? So, Katrina, I bought you a pie. You can get this video, see this video. You said buy you a pie, bitch. I bought you a pie. Bitch, I bought five pies. I'm gonna do a raffle. Anybody wanna win a pie? So I'm about to slice this pie. I think that this pie, cause Patti LaBelle could cook. So I'm just thinking that buying this pot, it's hard to get in this motherfucker. Patty, what you sell this bitch with? Gorilla glue? The shade of getting into the bitch. Okay. So. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, there we go. Come on, Patty. You better come out. Come on, Patty. I open Patty up. Remember, support black people, black businesses. Okay, so look. Ooh, it's so pretty. Look at that. On my own. Why did it end this way? Come on, Patty. So let's taste the Patty. I'm gonna taste Patty. Ooh, Patty's so moist. Come on, Patty. Patty! I wanna taste Patty live. Make a video for those that said what it tastes like. I ain't never tasted, so here we go. Patty. If anybody know Patty LaBelle, tag her in the video. Patty! Whoa! Bitch, I turned into Patty. You turned into Patty after eating this. Patty. How is it that two people laugh together and love together sometimes? Ooh, ha ha! Patty! When you've been blessed, feels like heaven. I swear. Bitch, you feel like Patti LaBelle after eating this. Go to Walmart and buy the Patti LaBelle pie.
He started dancing.
He hit that dance.
Now that is the best ad you can have for some shit from Walmart.
Right. Only thing shorty and kick his shoes off.
I know. Now there is a part two.
Oh shit.
No, as Tanisha just put us on to.
Okay.
Let's see what this is.
Still eating out the part one.
I have gotten down to the last part.
Oh shit!
Of my Patti LaBelle sweet potato pie. Patti, I need a coin after this. But this wasn't how it was supposed to be.
Oh shit!
I wish that we could do it all again.
That's like gone.
He held up the empty pie plate.
He ate the whole pie.
Ooh, this pie, Patty! Girl, Patty! Pepe! Patty, it makes no sense that every time I bite this damn sweet potato pie, it makes me want to say that.
Oh,
you are my friend. I never knew until then. My friend.
I just noticed it's a nigga over his shoulder in the back just looking like this nigga.
Right.
Exactly.
Like he don't even, he not even reacting. He just like, here he go again with them goddamn pies.
Yes!
Oh, God. Yeah, Patty! Ooh, that's somewhere over the rainbow.
Why is his hat so bedazzled, though?
I ain't gonna bedazzled. It's sparkly as shit. It'll blind you.
I swear to God, this nigga hat look like a Power Ranger.
I ain't even mad.
Wow.
I have to get a little Starbucks to go with this time.
And he got Starbucks. Wow. Mm. All the product placement. Niggas will give you some free. Yo, nobody get free product placement like niggas, dog. Nobody, period. We will give you better advertising than the commercial.
Right.
Someday I'll wake up on a star. And wake up where the clouds are far. Behind me. Well.
That's how she be singing, too.
What's the words, boy?
Huh? Now you're talking to the dude in the back.
One of these mornings, you're gonna look for me, and I'll be gone. I'm going to a place where my mother and my father will be there.
Also, in case, you know, for more Guess the Race, in case you guys hadn't got it yet, this is all recorded, not in landscape, okay? Never turn the phone sideways.
Mm-mm.
Patty would do something like that. And we'll just walk around heaven all day. But I hope when I get to heaven, they have Patty pie. Lord, when I get to heaven, I hope they have Patty pie. Patty pie.
So guess the race of James Wright.
Patty cake make you shake.
Do we have to guess?
Yeah. Gotta guess, guys. Gotta guess. Maybe you get it wrong.
I think I asked before.
So I know that it's a brother, but I'm just saying.
Okay, so you going with black, Tanisha?
I'm going with black.
I'm going with sister.
All right. I didn't say guess the gender now. I said guess the race.
Exactly.
Of the person.
Put an S-I-S-T-A on it.
Oh, okay. All right. So John's going with the sister and you're going with the brother. Man, I don't even know where to start with these guest arrays. Karen, did you ask them?
Yeah, I could ask again.
Yeah, you got to ask them again because they done talked about everything but the race since then. Oh wait, somebody said they had no sound.
Oh yeah, because you refreshed.
Yeah, I refreshed though. I'm back. We back, right? Y'all got the sound now?
Yeah, some people are delayed, yes.
All right, so I'll wait for some guests to populate.
Oh, that was so worth it.
Yeah, I don't know who's better though, him or Bluebell dude. Did y'all see the Bluebell dude?
Yeah.
I didn't see the Bluebell dude.
You missed the Bluebell dude?
Oh, the Bluebell. Yeah, we got to play that one for you. Bluebell dude is good too, dog.
Yeah. He, that nigga took it to church. See, I think.
Yeah.
I think I would go with, the Bluebell guy. Like, where's the, matter of fact, how about the Bluebell gospel song version?
Bluebell gospel.
Actually, that one ain't got the best audio. Where's the best audio? What is it? Because that one, he wasn't on the mic.
Good evening.
Here we go.
My brothers.
Take him to church.
And sisters. I know. If you thought Bluebell wasn't coming back, a demon called Lester got in Bluebell, caused people to get sick. But how many of you don't know weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper? Now Bluebell is making a return. Blue Bunny thought it was funny. Ben and Jerry got in a hurry. Even old Brahms started greasing some palms. Dryers put out flyers. Hugging dolls start counting up the concert. But when the saints begin to pray, Brahms had to lay aside its palms. Blue Bunny, they didn't think it was funny no more. Cause now trucks start rolling again. All the way from Alabama, all the way to Houston. And just in a few more days, to a store near you. Somebody say it.
So yeah, that was the Bluebell gospel. Now, of course, he also had a cover song.
I'm getting ready to do my thing. Get up, mess.
No.
Ready to buy some cream. Get up, mess.
Really?
You better back on the scene. Ready to buy some cream. Get up now. You heard up and well back on the scene. Ready to buy some cream. Get up.
You niggers.
Get up now. Back on the scene. Ready to buy some cream.
So, you know, Bluebell dude was adorable too, you know. But that was, you know, anyway, here's the guesses for the race. So black as hell. Somewhere a young white man is waging a weak challenge with his Paula Deen pumpkin pie, but Lady Mama Laid is black.
Oh Lord.
Gonna lose that foot to the sugar, just like Big Mama and Big Mama before her black.
Oh.
Coonery power level alone, 9,000 black. Only a nigga will perform the BET honors for Patty by himself over Sweet Potato Pie.
Oh, shit. Not the whole show.
He really did. He went through the greatest hits. The new Sylvester Black, one who would put their foot in a dish if they hadn't lost it to the sugar. Petitioning to have the Shug added to the dictionary. Baptist Church Black. Cause Oz knows Jesus is coming back black. Running up the ice cream aisle, speaking in tongues. Oh, that's for the other person. All right.
Not the ice cream aisle.
Someone said this is what they doing in church these days. No, man, he didn't sing it in church. He waited till after church and then use all the church's equipment.
Yes.
Oh, anyway, everybody got that right. He was black.
Yeah.
So you guys won a perfect 3 for 3 today, man.
Yes, y'all did. Y'all racism is on spot on.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Of course, the last segment that we cover before it's time to get out of here, it's got to talk about this sword ratchetness.
These phones are killing me. They are hilarious.
That's how you get killed by a sword, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Burmese political candidate is attacked by a sword wielding gang in Myanmar.
Oh, shit.
That's right. International sword ratchetness today, guys. A candidate running for parliament representing Myanmar's largest opposition party is in the hospital with serious wounds after being attacked by men armed with swords. That's right. They're getting involved in the political process now, guys. You didn't say anything when I said it was time to get them off the streets. Now look at you, laid up in the hospital. The attack took place on a Thursday night in Yangon, the country's commercial capital, just days before parliament elections. According to Naphon Lott, a fellow candidate from the main opposition National League for Democracy, at least 5 men armed with long knives attacked Nanganang Lin and several supporters of Aung San Suu Kyi lead, National League of Democracy. We all know them. The Aung San Suu Kyi lead. Nanganang Lin.
Like it was no thing.
Yeah, you know. The NLD, as we like to call them. National League of Democracy. Nanganang Lin is seeking re-election in November 8th on November 8th. The wounds are serious. Naphon Lott told CNN it is not clear whether or not anyone involved in the alleged attack was brought into police custody. A person answering the telephone Friday morning at the police station in Yangon's Takeda Township, where the attack allegedly took place, hung up the phone when CNN tried to reach out for comment on the incident.
I know they did.
They ain't want no problems.
Mm-mm.
Like, they stabbing niggas with swords. I ain't answering the phone. Don't put this in your article either. Next week's election is expected to be the first time since 1990 that citizens of Myanmar will get a chance to choose between all of the main political parties in a parliament election. The NLD was widely believed to have to have decisively won the election in 1990, but the country's military regime annulled the election results, imprisoned many opposition candidates, and placed Aung San Suu Kyi under house arrest for the next 20 years.
Shit. Damn. That's a long ass house arrest.
Right. At least he didn't have to go to prison, I guess. Just stay at the crib. In the last 5 years, man. Like, here you go, man. Hit your Xbox and have fun, man. You can't go to, no jail, but no freedom. In the last 5 years, Myanmar's military rulers have released many political prisoners and relaxed tight restrictions on the media and the economy as part of the push to open up the long isolated country to the outside world. Now, Aung San Suu Kyi is once again leading her party as it campaigns for the upcoming contest. The country's constitution, which was drafted by the military regime in 2008. Can you imagine? Like, we talk about our constitution, which is like 200 years old and shit. Can you imagine being like, according to the constitution, which we came up with in 2008,
right,
this is one of my rights. It's like, nigga, you only had these like 5 years. I don't care. I'm violating.
I bet you that's how that shit goes.
Oh yeah, I bet after America first drew up the constitution, for like the first 5 to 20 years, people was probably like, man, fuck them rights, I don't believe in that shit.
of course, because even after they abolished slavery, it wasn't official till Juneteenth. That's because right. Half the folks didn't know.
Like, you just know they was like, you'd be like, look, actually, you can't take pictures. Well, as granted by the Constitution, it is my First Amendment, right?
And I got this piece of paper that burned right. That shit in your face.
They're like, shut up, nerd. Get out of here. All right, guys. The Nobel Peace Prize winning opposition leader was being able to, well, they barred her from being able to run for president because her children hold foreign passports. Ooh, that's a reverse. Meanwhile, Naphon Lott claimed call for calm in the wake of Thursday night's attack. We need to be very careful, he said, speaking to CNN by phone. Well, I would say the same thing if I got stabbed with swords. All right, guys. Make sure you check out The Ink. Oh shit, and I forgot to say, today's sword ratchetness was brought to you by Bevel.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Swords cut close, but you know what else cuts close? Bevel razors.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This they're the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. That's right. Get clear, smoother skin with Bevel. You definitely want that. You know, it makes you feel good walking out looking good. They got all these creams and oils and stuff that you put on your face. Safety razor, shaving brush, blades, primer, oil, shaving cream, and a restoring balm.
They smell good, y'all. You know, I'm a woman, and I'm not going, because, you know, me and Roger, since we husband and wife, I go through his shit. So I went in there when he got the box because it's so pretty and shiny and sleek. And it smells so manly.
You smell so good, guys. And ladies love a man that's shaved up kind of clean and smelling kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you guys do that. Go to GetBevel.com. Use code TBGWT. You get 20% off your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. And like I said, check out John and Tanisha and Rivers. You know, check them all out, man. The Ink podcast, The Ink on iTunes and Stitcher. And let them know, you know, that you heard them here first, and send them a, you know, 5-star review and all that good stuff, man. It helps all these podcasts out. And we're always happy to be able to introduce people to different shows throughout the Black podcasting universe, because just like TV, diversity is the key, man. I want as many type of Black people listening to different Black podcasts all over the place. Yep. It helps everybody.
And let them know we sent you.
We'll be back tomorrow. I don't know what time, in the afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about all the stuff we didn't get to today, which I don't know exactly what we didn't get to today, but I feel like there's definitely Bill Cosby news.
Oh,
there's
shit.
Ben Carson news.
Remix.
There's so much shit going on in the world, guys. We'll get to that tomorrow. Good luck to all your football teams unless they play the Eagles. And shout out to Domino. All right.
Domino's just like, I gotta get in the show.
Right. He's like, when I'm getting my own podcast, man. All right, man. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.